It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaspardy.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Tyrus Wilson of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the gospel according to the fallen angel says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the ODB 130 Pittsburgh.
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
Got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, guys, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network, streaming at www.sundaynightshowdown.com. AudioWrestling.com, WrestlingNewsLive.tk, Justin.tv, and just about everywhere else on the internet. Bottom line, if you're not listening, you're not trying. I, of course, am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ All Caps Sexay. And guys, it's been an interesting week in professional wrestling. A lot of news stories that we're going to break down on the program here tonight. The top of the hour, we're going to be joined by High Spots owner Michael Buchicchio, who is going to talk about the recent problems, the ongoing legal battle he's had with one Nature Boy Ric Flair in regards to money problems. We'll find out where that's going. But a lot to talk about on the show tonight. With that being said, I'm not alone. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me on the line, he is the founder of Wrestling News Live. The Trey Dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off!
They say I'm cocky, and I say what? It ain't bragging, motherfucker, if you back it up. They say I'm cocky, and I say what? It ain't bragging, motherfucker, if you back it up.
Well, they say, let me see if I get my sayings and my quotes here straight. It's something along the lines of, crow is a dish best, no, that's not it, that's revenge. I can't think of the right analogy for once, so I'm just going to buck up, ball up, sack up, and man up. And say that I've got my fork in one hand, and I've got a knife in the other. I'm more than prepared to eat a big steaming pile of crow right here on the show tonight in front of God and everybody. And I'm so certain that it's in the news that I'm not even going to start out by telling you what it is. When we get to it, I'll just put on my bib, a little JR's barbecue sauce, and have me a big old bowl of crow right here on the show. And part two of my opening statement is, for the rest of the night and forever, in the history of this show, if we're on the air for another 15 years, the last name of tonight's guest will forever be said by JJ all caps. I have nothing to do with it. I couldn't say that dude's name right now if you paid me $1 million. There's just no way.
Well, I had a cheat sheet. When I talked to him earlier, I did ask him how to pronounce his name. So I would have never got it either, but I look forward to talking with Michael because, you know, one of the things that we've talked about a lot on this program is the continuing legal battles and problems of TNA stars. You know, we've got Jeff Hardy with his ongoing court case. We've got Kurt Angle with the DUIs. And now, you know, we've got Ric Flair, who apparently was issued an arrest order last week and told to make restitution of $35,000, you know, or and I think it was, what, 300 signed photographs to highspots.com or surrender the NWA World Heavyweight Championship that he put up for collateral.
So, now, for those of you that don't know what High Spots is all about, this is one of my favorite websites. They've already got the WCW Monday Nitro for sale, 3-DVD set. They've got Girl Talk with Shelly Martinez on sale. Brock Lesnar has a DVD. You know, he's got, I believe that's his book, isn't it? The story of My Determination and Domination and Survival.
Yeah, Death Clutch. Yeah, it's his body.
You know, they've got that. They've got wrestling gear for wrestlers. They've got information for ring rental for promoters. It's kind of a one-stop wrestling shop. And I've noticed that back in the day, which was a Wednesday, but back in the day, they used to sponsor a lot of different wrestling radio shows or did link exchanges, and that's how I found them originally, man, many, many, many years ago, but I've always known about High Spots. So it's going to be interesting to talk to the guy about his website, him being the owner of said website. And I'm looking here at the WCW Monday Nitro DVD. We had Diamond Dallas Page on, obviously, last week, talking about the DVD. He is the narrator of the DVD. And I'm looking at the cover. It's got Sting and Goldberg and Flair, The Big Show, the NWO Trio, DDP, Rey Mysterio, and Eric Bischoff all on the cover. Did they miss anybody? Or should somebody that's on there not be on there, in your opinion?
Who's on the cover again?
Well, you got Sting, Goldberg, and Flair up top. And then you've got the WCW logo in the middle. And then on the sides of the logo, you've got Big Show on the right, Rey Mysterio on the left. And then on the bottom, you've got DDP in the bottom corner with the NWO trio of Hall, Hogan, and Nash. And then a picture of Bischoff on there as well.
I would think maybe Roddy Piper and the Macho Man, possibly.
I would think Macho Man needed to be on there. What about Lex Luger? I mean, he was the first big free agent to jump to make the Monday Night Wars what they were.
Oh, absolutely. Lex Luger should have been there as well. I mean, he was...
I mean, was it the Mall of America where he showed up?
Well, yeah, but even before that, I mean, you know, he was such a staple in WCW even before he went to the WWE. I mean, I understand it's a best of Nitro, and he was on the first Nitro. He showed up at the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
And I think that was the shot heard around the world when it comes to free agency in wrestling and wrestlers being able to go, okay, I don't like my deal here, I'm going over here.
Yeah, no doubt.
So just an observation. Again, our guest tonight, Michael, what's his last name?
Bukikio.
Bukikio. I'm sorry, I just don't want to mess the guy's name up. He's kind of a big deal.
Yep, I'm looking forward to the conversation. Like I said, I really want to find out.
I told my dad about this at lunch today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he said, what's going on? And he's kind of trying to get in involved, you know, like he tries to act like he cares. And he's like, so what's going on with the show tonight? Anything special? Any big interviews? And I said, yeah, we got an interview tonight. I said, I don't know the guy's name exactly, but he owns a really popular website, and he's in a legal battle with Ric Flair, so we're trying to get his side of the story. And I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I am wrong once in a while. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. You would be the guy that would know this because you forget more than I remember. But didn't this all start when he was let go from the WWE or WWE originally after he had the retirement thing, the big blow-off in the ring? Didn't he then go to High Spots and work out a deal?
I believe he did. He borrowed money and put his NWA world title up for grabs, like the original, his original NWA belt, which had the red strap.
And now, of all of his belts, is that the one that you would want?
Well, just, I mean, based on the prestige factor of it being the NWA when it actually mattered, yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay. Because, you know, I mean, I personally think I would rather have one of his WCW belts.
Well, just for for what that belt represented, I mean, it's not one of the prettiest belts, mind you, but for what it represented, yeah.
I always thought that belt was ugly. Even when the TNA, when TNA first started and Jarrett carried that NWA TNA world title, which was the NWA title, same one that Harley Race and Sting and Flair and so many greats, I believe, you know, Steamboat, guys like that, had carried that belt. Right. I always thought it was just like a out of all the championship belts in professional wrestling, I always thought it just looked like it was shrunk.
Well, yeah, it, you know, you go back to the history of professional wrestling, and back in the, what, the 1900s, the late 1800s, I mean, literally, the belt looked like a belt buckle. So, you know, over the years, it's gotten bigger, but, you know, again...
Speaking of belt buckles, I was just on High Spots looking at belt buckles.
Yeah, I was looking at those earlier. They have championship buckles.
I want to get the WCW belt buckle.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. Well, I tell you what, let's rifle through some of the biggest news stories of the week before we bring on Mr. Bukikio and talk about this.
There's a lot to talk about news this week.
We do have a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and jump into things. It's time for News of the Week, sponsored, of course, by wrestling-online.com. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, do so. Join 26,000 wrestling fans and get the newsletter multiple times a week. It's all the news you need straight to your email. With that said, let's go ahead and start this segment up.
Excuse me!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
Well, we found out last week that the WWE, or at least THQ, has officially axed the name SmackDown versus Raw. So it looks like from now on, as far as THQ video games are concerned, the SmackDown series is no more. It's been put to rest. It's being replaced with WWE 12, which will hit retail stores on November 22nd, 2011, and will feature all new gameplay design and new features. So look for that November 22nd, 2011. It's a new era for WWE video games, and I'm actually quite pumped about it.
I am too, for a couple different reasons. I actually looked at this online somewhere. I don't know where it was, to be exact. It may have been Game Trailers or IGN, one of the two. And the person that did the review of this did a very good job. And he said, now look, you're going to look at this footage, and you're not going to think, wow, they've really done a lot of things to upgrade this game. But they are, and they will by the time it comes out. And I'm also, I like the fact that they're going with the number now. Because they've always just gone with the name and the year, and it gets confusing after a while. But at least if you say it by a number, you know that it's the most recent copy of the franchise.
I was going to say, if you'd like to find out more information, of course, tune into the Causecast tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, right here on the SNS Radio Network, when the Phenom Charles Shane joins me to talk, obviously, about him playing the game firsthand at the THQ offices last week. And if you're looking for a write-up, a very comprehensive write-up for the game, go to cause.ws. He did a four-page write-up of his initial thoughts on the game. I mean, we're talking about someone who actually went to THQ headquarters and got to play the demo and give his reactions and thoughts to THQ afterwards. So definitely check out his write-up.
my question is, I'm new to this E3 thing. I watched it all day today when I wasn't chauffeuring my father around because the tranny went out in his Explorer again.
Nice.
For the third time in about 2 months. Anyway, I just sat down and turned on E3 as Xbox was coming on the stage, and the phone rang, and I had to go pick up my dad, so I missed that. But I noticed that, you know, not only do the major gaming consoles have a presentation, but I almost said producers, but I don't think that's the right terminology. Manufacturers like Ubisoft, I caught the Ubisoft segment this afternoon before Sony took the stage on day one, and they showed some of their titles coming out this year. Does THQ, are they going to have their chance at E3 to go up on stage and do all that, you know?
Well, I know they're at E3, and they've got the booth set up where you can actually play the demo for the game, which I believe features four superstars: Alberto Del Rio, John Cena, The Miz, and, of course, Randy Orton, who's going to be on the cover of the game. So, yeah, if you're at E3, you can go check it out. I don't know if they're going to be releasing footage from the demo online. They're not doing a press conference for THQ, obviously, but you can find out more about it at E3.
Very cool. Very cool.
Let's see. Back to some other news topics of the week. Apparently, Jericho will be releasing a new book, his third book in 2013.
Yay.
So that should be interesting. Obviously, his two previous books, A Lion's Tale and Around the World in Spandex, have done very well. That is pretty good. They've done very well on the New York Times bestseller list. So I look forward to seeing what this third book will do. The trailer for China's video porn flick, Backdoor to China, has been released.
Here we go.
As of today, the video has been released on vividvideo.com. Now, I've got some breaking news for each and every person that can hear the sound of my voice. As confirmed to me today by Colin Vaslow, of course, of wrestling-online.com, it looks like that next Monday on this very program, we will have either a live interview with China or a taped interview with her. We're still working out the technicalities, but we are going to have China on the show next week. And as of today, Vivid Video has actually sent out a package to me, so I'll be reviewing the Backdoor to China.
Okay, you're going to have to forward this to me before the show's over with here. But here's where I'm going to eat my crow. And ironically, JJ sent me this message this morning telling me that we were going to have China. And my reply was, could be interesting. Here's the deal. I went to bat for China 4 weeks ago, around 4 weeks ago, on Sunday Night Showdown's pay-per-view coverage the week before that, knowing she was going to be there on Impact and then the pay-per-view. I went to bat for China, and I said, man, she looked good. She was great in the ring. You know, she could do so much for that company. Vince was all butt hurt that she was there. For lack of a better term, she made an impact. And, you know, she cost herself a chance to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, supposedly. I mean, that was what was being rumored at the time. You know, she came in, she did a great job. We were all of us, no, I won't say all of us, but a lot of us were looking forward to her sticking around and maybe having a few singles matches, you know, maybe even wrestling some of the guys in TNA. Kurt wanted to put her over. Kurt wanted to make a program with her, you know, but all of a sudden, the pay-per-view, she's there live, and then days later, boom, it's released that she has not, you know, just one porno out, but now, as if one wasn't bad enough, now she's got the sequel to the first one. I had said, you know, just because she had a porno out and because she'd been on the Surreal Life and, you know, she tried to overdose on these pills and all this shit that had gone bad in her life, let's not throw stones at her. Let's welcome her back into wrestling, where she belongs, and maybe she'll get back on her feet and we won't have another one of these tragic stories of a wrestler passing before their prime. I said all that.
Right.
And now she has turned her back on wrestling. And now TNA's done with her. WWE's done with her. And she has decided now. Now, granted, she is working with what will probably, to my limited poor knowledge, but to what is probably one of the most successful, you know, porno companies in the world with Vivid. I mean, they've all got, I mean, if you look at the girls that do porno for Vivid, they're all smoking hot. But, I mean, at least she's aligned herself with Vivid to do these videos, but I feel bad because I was so ready to support her comeback, and I told you guys not to give her shit and to give it a chance, and then she basically turned her back on me like she did the wrestling business and opened up the back door to China on all of us. So I stand corrected. Now I hope we don't see another one of those wrestling tragedies. I hope she doesn't end up making the news for other reasons, and I'll tell her that when we get her on the show.
Well, with that said, like I said, we are planning on doing an interview with China next week and get her perspectives on stuff. I know she wants to make a full-time career out of this. She's happy to do porn, so you know, we'll definitely talk to her.
To each their own.
Dude, you know what? It's full circle for me because I think I've told this story before.
There is a circle. There is no end.
There is a circle here, and it started with China for me because, as I've told you all, you never forget your first. She was my first interview in wrestling radio. In fact, I got my job by interviewing her. As most of you may have heard me talk about before, I worked with the Voice of Wrestling radio show. That's where I got my start. And I was given an opportunity to interview China, and if I did well, I got the job. And well, history will state that I got the job by talking with China and having a successful interview.
So, now, where did you come from before that?
I was just a wrestling fan. I was nobody. I was just a guy that watched the show and didn't even know about wrestling radio. Had no idea. I was oblivious that people did radio shows on the internet. So I've been in the business since 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. But so we will be talking, of course, with that. You know, the Vivid shoot and everything else. I'd like to get some wrestling questions in with her as well. We'll see how that works out. Other news making the rounds. The Ultimate Warrior joined Twitter last week and has started an internet war with one Hollywood Hulk Hogan of Impact Wrestling. Says that Karma is a bitch and Karma is coming to get Hogan. He has truths that he wants to basically tell everybody about regarding Hulk Hogan. He's been very vocal towards some of the recent remarks, the remarks that Hogan made toward Edge, which I thought were very tasteless when Edge had to abruptly retire because of in-ring injuries. And lately, Hogan has made the news also for making an idiotic statement on his Facebook saying that it was, in fact, the fans of WCW who helped make the promotion fold. I've been very vocal on Facebook about this. Yes, Hulk. It is completely my fault that WCW folded because guess what? As soon as the product turned to shit, I stopped watching it. So if my non-watching of the program contributed to the fall of WCW, then I am 100% guilty. I guess it had nothing to do with the finger poke of doom, the writer Vince Russo, who doesn't know how to book wrestling, and the creative control contracts of Hulk Hogan and the rest of the hierarchy at WCW. It's good to know where we stand. Then Hulk Hogan came out later and said that his account, ladies and gentlemen, was hacked and he never would have made those remarks to the wrestling fans because he respects you and owes his life to you. I'm calling bullshit.
What's a guy got to do to keep his hand, to keep his eye on his accounts? Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan.
Well, you know,
is there just a laptop backstage at TNA? They're just passing around. Dude, what's going on?
I tell you what, it's funny. I actually was on Twitter the other day, and someone had mentioned, what was it? Someone had mentioned that, you know, it must be the TNA Twitter plan. So, you know, you must work for TNA.
Dixie says shit that doesn't come true. Foley talks shit about TNA on Twitter.
Well, now get it.
You can't blame me. You can't blame me, Hulkster, because I watched it either when it was bad.
Getting to Foley,
I watched it all the way up to the fact that Shane McMahon was on the air.
Getting to Foley, he asked for his release from the company. Not only has Foley asked for his release, but he's been written off TV, as you saw on Impact this past week, where he was fired.
You're fired.
From Impact Wrestling. But now Tommy Dreamer is wrapping up with the company after failing to come to terms. If TNA and Impact Wrestling are the place to be, then why is everybody leaving?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Take this with a spoonful of sugar or a spoonful of what the fuck ever. I don't care. I will not lose a wink of sleep, or I won't stop watching TNA because Foley and Dreamer are gone.
Oh, I know you won't.
I mean, it's not going to bother me either way. I thought Foley as the network rep was retarded. I mean, I would have much more, and I know it's been done. I know it's been done, but I would have much more believed in some skinny, suit-wearing jabroni that carried a briefcase and did what the network said more than I would Mick Foley somehow 1 week not getting into the impact zone because Bischoff and Hogan have fired him to, you know, 6 months later to a year later, him being able to run the show because he's a part of the fucking network.
Right, right.
You know, especially when Foley is so anti anything, you know, sexual on wrestling, and he's on a network now where it's all about guys and half-naked women.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, in a sad note, the wife of the late Hall of Famer Gorgeous George has passed away. Betty George, the first wife of Hall of Famer Gorgeous George, was 98. She passed away in Gearhart, Oregon. Betty made an appearance last year at the Hall of Fame to accept the induction of her late husband. And sad story, but, you know, she lived a full life at 98. I'm understanding that the WWE right now has plans to make a Gorgeous George movie. However, from what I hear, they've decided to make it just a documentary. So more details as that is made available.
Applebottom in the chat room says that my idea of a suit has been done with Cyrus and ECW. Yes. But Don Callis was also a part of TNA as a member of the network at one point already. I think even before they had a network, which made a lot of sense, but he was somebody with a suit and a briefcase. Cyrus the Virus over in TNA when they first started.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be that guy. I'm just saying, WWE programming has done it. They've brought a guy out in a suit that didn't look like a wrestler. And you believed, because he didn't look like a wrestler, and he was in a suit with a briefcase, that he actually might work for the network.
True that.
You know, I'm going to believe more in a guy in a suit with a briefcase that doesn't look like a wrestler, looks like a normal dude that walks up and down Wall Street. I'm going to believe more that that guy is a network executive than I am Mick Foley in a pair of sweatpants and a fucking jacket.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just me. I'll believe that every time.
No, I hear you. And it's you know, it's going to be telling where they go with this, but I'd like to know who they're going to get to obviously take over this network spot. In other news, apparently Linda McMahon is going to be giving a decision on running for re-election for for Senate this month. So we're still waiting to hear about that. I think she's going to run again, to be honest with you, Trey.
I think she will, too. And the sad thing is, she probably should have won the first time.
Probably so, yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for the initial shock of, here comes a woman from professional wrestling, you know, the guy that she ran against, from what I understand, would have lost to a broom had the broom ran against him. But because Linda had pro wrestling in her background, I think that's what hurt. Now, this time, maybe it won't be such a culture shock. And to their, you know, I guess to their favor, they've really cleaned up and PG'd the product so much that what could anybody say about it?
Final couple of stories here real quick. Tyson Kidd is now being managed by Matt Stryker after having unsuccessful runs.
God.
With Michael P.S. Hayes, then Armando Estrada. He's now been paired up with Matt Stryker.
Which is funny, because didn't I say a few weeks ago I thought that Stryker would be a great manager?
I think we both did. I remember saying that as well.
We talked about how he was doing well at what he was doing, but they needed to use him more. And yeah, that's kind of ironic. The pairing doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but neither have any of the other pairings that he's been with. So,
true that.
And I'm talking about Tyson Kidd.
Apparently, Bret the Hitman Hart is set to join the WWE for a South African tour. The last time,
now, there's a good manager for Tyson Kidd.
Well, there you go. The last time he was in South Africa was back in 1997. So, Bret is looking forward to working with the WWE on the tour. Let's see, what else do we have? And last story of the night. Apparently, The Rock is right now negotiating to be in G.I. Joe Part 2. And it looks like the role that he's up for is none other than Roadblock, and I think this is a slam dunk. You get Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You get him for the Roadblock role, and you've got something in the making, because it's going to be a different movie from the first G.I. Joe, as Justin Lin, the director of Fast and Furious, is going to be directing the movie. So I think this could work out for G.I. Joe, quite frankly.
Where knowing is half the battle.
Exactly, and that's going to do it for the news stories for this week, guys. And I want to go ahead and run to the phone lines here, sponsored by HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. And joining us on the phone line, he is the owner of High Spots. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Michael Bukikio. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, that was pretty good. Nobody gets my name that close on the first try.
I already said at the beginning of the show that I will not be even attempting to say your last name for the rest of my life.
Well, I appreciate that.
I would just hate to butcher it. But we actually have a legitimate CEO of something on the network.
That's me.
We've got, wait, JJ used to be the CEO. Now Harmony's the CEO. Okay, I got to get my bosses in order here.
Yeah, she's the boss.
She's the boss. So.
We work for her. That's
Michael, we were just talking earlier before you came on about the website. And, it's really a one-stop shop for wrestling fans, wrestling promoters, and wrestlers themselves to get DVDs, books, autographs, wrestling gear, how to basically set up your own ring, get your ring rental, title belts, you name it. You guys even have custom posters.
We try to do it all. We started basically as a Lucha Libre mask company due to my abilities to travel to Mexico City on a regular basis. And, the business has taken me a lot of places, and now it's all housed in about a 7,000-square-foot warehouse with every piece of paraphernalia you can imagine.
Wow.
That's a big building with a lot of stuff. I just like to walk through there one day and just look at it all.
I remember it was
like
a couple...
It's like a big toy store.
Yeah.
I remember some years back, you guys actually had a WCW ring for sale.
The story behind that was Dusty Rhodes inherited a lot of rings, canvases, and other stuff from WCW. And this was well before he worked for WWE in the capacity he's in now. And he had a yard sale on all of it. And we bought just about everything he had. And I still have a canvas or two left over from that purchase, but everything else we've been able to move. But it's quite an interesting time, back when you can get Dusty Rhodes on the phone.
I'm getting a question in chat room from Anthony. He's wondering how much the ring went for, if you remember.
I think we sold the rings for about $3,000 or $4,000. There was more than one.
Right.
What about the canvases themselves?
Well, we had like remember the Nitro canvas that had all flame spray painted, and we had two of those, and we had a WCW Saturday Night canvas. Yeah, they all went for $1,500, $2,000 each, and I kept one or two of them because my plan was that one day when I had a really big building where I can have like a wrestling school and, kind of what they had down at Florida Championship Wrestling, where you can have shows and stuff. I wanted to hang them from the walls, and maybe one day, but it's still tucked neatly under the ring just in case.
That's what I was going to say, was I'd like to have one just to cut to fit one wall in my house.
Oh, yeah, it's enormous. It's 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide, and it's you must have a big house that'll cover a wall.
I'd like to have the Halloween Havoc, if I had my preference, I think.
But the canvases they had were really detailed. I don't know who did their canvases, but the level of detail that went into the graphics was just, it's not a screen print. Someone hand-painted this. They took an overhead projector and put the picture of the stencil down on the canvas, and someone drew it by hand and colored it in, and it really is an amazing piece of work.
What's probably the coolest piece of WCW memorabilia you've ever had, or any kind of memorabilia you've ever had? You had it, you were just, you couldn't believe you owned it.
Wow, I'll lead into the story I'm sure you want to talk about. I couldn't believe that I had the NWA World Belt in my possession for nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
It's like having a Honus Wagner, you know, rookie card if you're a baseball collector.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the history that goes behind that belt, and, you know, I grew up watching the NWA, so it has particular meaning to me. But just having that in my house for nearly 2 years was pretty incredible.
That'd be like me owning the Mid-South World Heavyweight Championship.
Exactly.
I mean, I grew up watching Mid-South religiously, you know.
Who has that belt now? Do you even know?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know if any one person has it or if the boss just has it all locked up in his garage.
I would think Bill Watts probably had it somewhere.
I mean, that's what I mean by the boss. I mean, he's probably still got it all locked up in his garage somewhere. I don't know.
Probably.
I know.
I never thought of all the people, and they still haven't done this right, which is something that I want to talk to you about also. Just from looking at your website the last couple of days, getting ready to have you on. When Vince started buying all of the video libraries from all the territories and all the major televised wrestling federations, you know, a lot of people were sour on him owning so much of it. And I remember coming on this show, of course, like I said, we've been doing this for 15 years now, but I remember coming on the show and saying, you know, it might not be a bad thing for Vince to own it all. And the reason I said that was because I thought eventually what Vince is going to do, and he did, was he would start a television channel that's 24/7 WWF, WWE programming and be able to show all this stuff. But he still hasn't done it right. To me, it's still not a wrestling channel 24/7. It's on demand. You can watch it when you want to watch it. But if you're not watching it, then you're not missing anything because there's nothing playing until you watch it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking in the vein of an ESPN or, you know, a CBS or something where there's 24 hours of programming, you know, and 7 days a week with schedules and times that you can watch certain things. And he still hasn't done that, and he hasn't done it right yet. With the libraries that he does have. And I've noticed over the last couple of days a few websites that are promoting wrestling television, and I see that you've got that on your website with High Spots TV. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, High Spots TV has just celebrated a birthday. We started it about April 1st of 2010. And, you know, we put up about one clip a day. So we accumulated over 600 clips. I know it doesn't add up in the math, but sometimes we'll add two, three clips a day, but we always guarantee to add one. And it's kind of like the YouTube for pro wrestling, but as it relates to all the content that we produce.
Right.
We go on the road almost every weekend and we film an independent show, or we'll film an interview with a wrestler, or we'll pull something from the library of, you know, relative to Vince's small library that we own, and we'll put a different clip up on High Spots TV every day. And, you know, just for your listeners, if you want to send me an email tomorrow to support at highspots.com, I'll let all your listeners try it out for 2 weeks free. I'd like to see what they think of it, maybe get some feedback.
Cool.
And, you know, just let them write me back after they've had a chance to watch it for 2 weeks and let me know what they think.
So they just need to email you directly?
Absolutely. support@highspots.com. Give me about 24 hours to respond. I'll send everybody their own link and they can try it out. And then just like all I ask is in 2 weeks when it's up, just write me back and tell me what you like, what you didn't like.
That's fair enough. I like that. And you'll definitely get a response. Trey, one thing, though, as far as this network thing you're talking about with Vince doing a channel, that's right. That's still in the works. I mean, he's rumored. It's been over the last couple of years. They thought that, you know, 2011 he would have it launched, 2012 he'd have it launched. Everything I've heard is it's being pushed back to about 2013. And
probably.
He literally is wanting to have his own network where he has shows scheduled. And I've even heard they want to do, like, sitcoms and stuff to add to this channel. So it's WWE, man. It's what they do.
Well, and you know, another avenue, Vince is wanting to get his hand in everything. We know that. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. With the number of wrestling radio shows that are out there and the number of wrestling media that's out there, you know, why not have a WWE XM Sirius satellite radio channel where they play shows like this, or they play shows of their own produced, however they want to do it, which I'm sure they'd want to produce their own so that they would always sound good to the listener. Nobody's going to dog on the WWE product on their own channel. But, you know, and in between shows, play wrestlers' themes from the past, present, whatever. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that in the near future.
Absolutely. Michael, one thing before we actually jump into the Ric Flair story. Have you heard anything since last week when the arrest order was issued? Have you heard from Ric Flair? Has restitution been paid? I've heard nothing.
Well, I've heard nothing as well. I don't expect to hear anything until the very last hour. You know, so we have about, you know, 3 more weeks before I think we'll receive any type of compensation from Rick or from anybody else that's going to step forward on his behalf.
Wow,
you know, this has been a long process. So I really didn't think that after the arrest order that I would see a check the next day. They'll drag us out to the last minute.
So how did all this come about?
Well, it goes back to his retirement when he left WWE and he went to work for himself. And he took an agency called the Gillespie Agency, and they began to shop the services around, you know, doing independent shows and autograph signings. And, of course, I was interested in doing an interview with him. Always been my childhood favorite. You know, still think he's the greatest wrestler of all time, despite all the stuff that's happened. And so I threw my offer into the mix, and I was competing with a few others who would gain the services of his shoot interview. And one of the things I did to kind of sweeten the pot was offer him some appearances as part of the deal, and it ended up being a six-figure package where he would do a lot of autographing for me, appearances at live shows, and, of course, the most important thing for my business was the interview. And we signed the agreement. Everything under that agreement went perfectly. He did all the appearances under that agreement. He did an interview, which, if you haven't seen it, is 10 hours of Ric Flair talking about his history from, you know, beginning to his retirement. And I'm very proud of the interview and the packaging on it. And it's been our best-selling product that we've ever put out in the history of High Spot. So as it relates to that original deal, everything that we discussed was done to my expectations. Rick was first class about it. And in all of that, he was in. We got to be very friendly. We would go out every Wednesday night, which maybe one day I'll write a book about that. But we'd go out every Wednesday night with him and his wife, Jackie, and with myself and my fiance, and we became good friends. And I, you know, a lot of people have written saying, oh, he worked you, he took advantage of you, how could you believe that you'd be friends? But we really were friends. I got to know his entire family. I still keep in touch with several of his kids. We went on some vacations together. He took me to WrestleMania in Houston. Treated me really well, and I felt comfortable at that time to extend the agreement that we had and do some appearances beyond the original contract. He was a little upset with Elaine Gillespie because of her lack of knowledge of independent wrestling, and he was going to let me kind of be the agent for his independent wrestling bookings and retain her for all the corporate stuff. And so he ended up making two loans to Ric Flair that totaled $66,000. And we agreed that he would do a certain amount of appearances for those, and he did a few, but not all. And he never got to the point where he completed those obligations for me. And as time went on, I could see the other side of Ric Flair that a lot of other people had seen before me. And I just didn't feel comfortable finishing the obligations that we had under that second agreement. And I just said, listen, Rick, this isn't going to work out. I can't give you the appearances with you anymore. We're going to have to settle up on the debt that you owe me. He had already given me the belt to use as collateral. So I said, listen, Rick, I'm under no rush. Whenever you're ready, I'll give you the belt back. And we went through about a year where there was silence. And then I kind of got aggravated by it because I knew I couldn't sell the belt without being, you know, the worst guy in the history of wrestling. You saw Ric Flair's belt. And when I finally did pretend that I was going to sell it and solicited offers, I found out that this belt had actually been used as collateral on a previous loan and under a previous judgment he had with a company that did some financing for his Gold's Gyms. So I don't know if that's too much information too fast or if you have any questions, but, you know, in short, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking, so you entered an agreement with him to do some autographs, do a video that you could sell on High Spots, and everything worked out great the first time around. Everything was perfect. And
right,
then
the last appearance under that original contract is December 6th.
Okay.
And the two subsequent loans I made to him were before that December 6th. So you have to remember the loans that I made to him that, you know, we're fighting about right now.
Yeah.
Was before the first agreement ended. I mean,
okay.
He was going through a lot of stuff related to the divorce. And, you know, I knew with the amount of money he was generating each and every weekend that the money that I had forwarded under these deals was kind of small potatoes.
Right.
I didn't really feel like there was any risk that he wasn't going to pay me back.
So you kind of just felt like you kind of felt like with the money that Ric Flair is going to pull off the name Ric Flair doing weekend autograph signings and house shows, that he'll be able to pay you back in no time like it's nothing.
I had accompanied him to shows, multiple shows on weekends, where he made $25,000, $30,000 a weekend. So when you compare it to the amount of money that I'm talking about, he could have worked it off relatively quickly. And to be quite honest, I never, ever expected that he'd write me a check and pay me back the money. I fully expected to just get some appearances in exchange for the money, and we'd take care of it down the line.
Right. Where, and when you say that, what you mean is, and I'm just breaking it down for our listeners, that you never thought you'd get the $60,000 in a check paying you back, but you could use Ric Flair at a show to generate revenue from that show because he was there to help make up the money, and then whatever was left over, you guys would just work out.
The $66,000 that I loaned him, we had agreed that he would do 8 appearances for me, which was a dramatic discount off the rate that he was charging through the Gillespie
agency. Right.
So what I was doing is I was taking these dates and contacting other promoters that wanted to use Ric Flair, but they didn't want to use Ric Flair under the terms that the Gillespie agency had set, which included, you know, 50% down, you know, first class travel for him, first class travel for an agent of the Gillespie agency, and all the other things that go along with a rider when you're dealing with someone like Ric Flair. You know, it's people that I knew in the business and people that trusted me. I would bring Ric Flair to the town with really nothing down, nothing but a promise. And in exchange, High Spots would be allowed to sell merchandise there. And it was a model that I used that was very successful for the short time that it was working out.
Yeah.
You know, we did probably 15 or 20 shows where, you know, we went in there and we went into a town where a lot of times another promoter basically handled it with his company, and we did the appearance for that company rather than for High Spots. And we would set up our merchandise table, and it was a perfect relationship. And you know, part of the deal with that was getting his son Reed booked on these shows. Reed was just breaking into wrestling for the first time, you know, other than his childhood Nitro appearances. But he was wrestling at my school. We have a wrestling school at High Spots. Reed was a big part of that. Rick was actually a trainer there. You know, we had Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair as trainers at my wrestling school, both of them only because their sons were involved and local to the area. But it was a good relationship, and quite honestly, I didn't think that Rick would stab me in the back the way that he eventually did.
So you got Ric Flair under an agreement for 8 appearances because of this money that you loaned him, which is a substantial smaller figure than what he would normally do 8 appearances for. How many, now just backtracking, how many of these 8 appearances did he do?
Well, he did 2 live appearances for me, one of which was for one promoter and one was for another. And then we did an interview with him, the Rick and Roddy Roundtable, where I had Roddy Piper and Ric Flair basically just you know, talking on camera. And they're really great friends. We brought in Roddy to a show here in the Charlotte that we did for the Charlotte Police, and I kept them apart. So when they saw each other for the first time, it was on camera, and I just kind of let them go for an hour and a half, just being friends with each other. And I had seen the way they interacted with each other before, and I wanted to kind of capture that on film. So he actually did 3 of the 8 appearances under that one.
Now, you know the guy. You became friends with your childhood hero, Ric Flair, and you got to where you were hanging out with him and his wife and you and your fiance on a regular basis. So my question has to be, what happened? Well, what flipped the switch in Rick to do a 180 on your previous agreement and act the way he's acting now and his refusal to pay you what he owes you?
It was extremely difficult to get him to commit to more dates. He still had one hand in the Gillespie agency cookie jar, so to speak, and then he was using me to find bookings with people that I knew, like Michael Bryan. I'm the one that negotiated that deal with Ring of Honor. You know, I was the one that he promised a 10% commission for negotiating that particular deal and a few others for him. Deals that the Gillespie agency could not have closed because they just didn't understand the business. And, you know, really, it was the fact that I couldn't get him to commit to these dates as fast as I wanted because he wanted basically new money rather than to pay the debts off from the old money. It just got to the point where it became frustrating. But none of that affected our personal relationship. I was kind of letting it go, and he was treating me quite well until he did an appearance for Greg Price, who runs an annual event called NWA Fan Fest. This year it's in Atlanta, but it's been in Charlotte the last few years. Rick was the missing piece to do the Four Horsemen group shot, and he was originally scheduled to do something in South Africa. That got canceled. I put him in the spot. Rick and Greg Price signed an agreement that I got my commission for in the form of videotaping, and I saw Ric Flair basically hold up Greg Price, who I've worked with for many years, for more money than was on the contract, and I just knew at that point that I couldn't do this anymore. I'd seen him do it at Greg's. I'd seen him do it at 2 or 3 other appearances where he would sign very slowly. The time would run out, and then he would go to the promoter and say, hey, for another $5,000, I'll take care of the rest of this line. And, of course, the promoter's in a position where they have to concede to whatever Rick wants, or else they have to give a lot of refunds. And I just said, you know what, this isn't going to work out anymore. I've gotten everything I can get out of Rick. I can't do this and put Rick in a position to hurt the relationships I have with these promoters. So I just said, Rick, listen, I can't do this anymore. I don't want you to do any of these purchases for me. Just pay me back the money when you can, and I won't pressure you for it, just whenever you can get it. And we left it off like that, and there was really no problem other than that. But we didn't talk. We didn't socialize nearly as much. And like I said earlier, it was a year later before I even took any action.
Now, when did you have this talk? Sorry, Jenny. When did you have that very conversation with Rick about it's not going to work, and I'm not going to put you out on any more shows. Just pay me what you owe me, and I'm not going to pressure you. When did you have that conversation?
It was the day after NWA Fan Fest. He was driving to Myrtle Beach. We were on the phone, and he was saying, hey, you know, he owes me some more money. Can you call him? Can you take care of it? You know, just follow up. I'm going to the beach. And I already knew what happened because Greg Price had called me. So I just told Rick, I said, Rick, this is it. We're done. I'm not going to help you out anymore. I'm not going to line up any more bookings. I'm not even going to put you in for shows under the things I've already paid for. I'm not doing this anymore.
So NWA Fan Fest was when?
August. My memory's bad, but I want to say 3 years ago.
Okay. So it's been 3 years since you had that conversation.
Yeah, it could have been two. I have to go back and look up. It may have been two.
Well, so he's moved on. He's moved on to TNA now and making money, so...
You know, the funny part is I was... You know, I had already represented him for the Ring of Honor deal. He had an offer from TNA, and he had an offer from WWE, and he was honestly consulting me. He says, which one do you think I should take? And I said, Rick, I said, I think you should take the WWE deal. They wanted to bring him in as a... corporate consultant and appearing on the 24/7, and we're going to pay him $250,000. And he said that wasn't enough money for him to live on.
Wow.
So what I've heard, and I wasn't privy to the contract with TNA, but I heard TNA offered him $400,000, and that's why he went with TNA.
Wow. So I guess my question is, you had mentioned earlier that he put the belt up for collateral, and then you found out later that belt was put up for collateral in another lawsuit?
Yeah. I will tell you, this is a backstory. I have a law degree. I'm not a practicing attorney, but I do have a law degree. And when I put the information out on the internet that I was interested in selling the belt, the person who actually wrote the security agreement for the other company, whose name is Combraco, they're a valve manufacturer. They make $20-30 million a year, so this is like nothing to them. I actually went to law school. I went to undergrad school with him, and I went to law school with his wife. And he sent me an email and said, listen, this particular belt is secured for judgment from a different client, and I wrote it up, so I know it's true. And it wasn't until that time I had that belt for, you know, well over a year, and I had no idea that it had a UCC claim, which is basically a notice that another person has a lien on the piece of property.
Wow.
That's like going down and buying a used car and finding out somebody actually still owns it because they got a lien from a bank somewhere else.
Exactly.
That's
it's pretty damn shady,
Ricky,
man.
Ricky.
I've heard stories about Rick for years. I mean, you know, you go back to his WCW days, NWA days, and he talks about the Four Horsemen. He talks about spending more money than he was making. You know, he's just always been a guy that's always had money problems. I mean, we're talking about a guy that should be living retirement, not worrying about working, but because of all the alimonies he has, you know, he's still working a full-time schedule. It's sad. It really is. I mean, Rick
absolutely lived in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely lives in the moment. You know, and whenever I'd interview people, and I asked them a question about Ric Flair, the same theme always came up. It's like, what you see on TV, that is Ric Flair. And, you know, it never really made sense to me until I got to hang out with him socially and see, I don't know who Richard Flair is. However you pronounce his actual name. But Ric Flair, that you see on TV, is exactly the same person that you see out at any restaurant or any bar any day of the week.
Well, it's funny because you might be able to back this up, JJ. Don't we have an audio segment, a little clip of a day in the life of Ric Flair?
I do, if you want me to pull that up.
Yeah, I'd like for you to play that. This gentleman would be able to verify if that is, in fact, what it's like to live a day in the life of Ric Flair.
Oh, you're in for a treat when I pull this up, Michael.
Okay, listen.
Hey, give me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves. I got to go find
it. So this, you got to understand that I'm a Ric Flair fan, but I've always reserved, I've never loved the guy like I do a Sting or a Shawn Michaels. You know, because I always reserved the fact that, you know, a guy, and granted, I'm 36, I don't even have a pet. I have no kids, I'm not married, I don't want to be married, I don't want to have any kids right now. But this was always a guy that went from, like, woman to wife, and I know that he was always in trouble with alimony and owing everybody. And I've always heard that about Ric Flair. But to hear that, you go, you hear that, though, and you go, well, what do you really know? I say it a lot on this show. I can't really complain. I can't really say anything about this situation because I wasn't there. You know, same thing about Rick. I can't really say that because I don't hang out with Rick. I don't know Rick. You do, and you're backing up everything that I've ever heard about the guy. You know.
Well,
and
people always ask me who my favorite wrestler is of all times, and it's still Ric Flair. So I get a lot of hate mail from Ric Flair fans saying, "Why are you doing this to him? Why do you constantly put the things on the internet?" You know, and I want to tell you, this is the first time I've ever done an interview. I wasn't even considering doing an interview until I read Dave Meltzer's report last week, where he screwed up the whole facts of the situation anyways.
Right.
I think, you know what? What do I really have to lose here? Everybody goes to Dave Meltzer's thing, they reprint this, and they figure that Dave is saying it. It's got to be true.
And not one time. Here's the good thing. We'll get your actual story the way it's supposed to be to Dave Meltzer so that it will be corrected, or at least he will have in his possession your comments, and he'll know what the situation really is.
Last week, Dave Meltzer said that we settled at a mediation where I agreed to take $35,000 and plus some autographs in exchange for the $31,000 he owed me. You know, I don't know if anybody understands what a mediation is, but a mediation is where two sides can't come to an agreement, and they go into a room, and they try to work on something that has a middle ground so we can avoid a trial. So
right.
If the claim was he owed me $31,000, and we went to a mediation, wouldn't you think that if we agreed at a mediation, which we did, don't you think that number would be lower than 31? Why would he agree to pay me more?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
But you're saying, so that we have this all clarified, that he actually owes you what?
Well, you know, we never went to a trial, so we cannot say what he actually owes me. What I can claim that he owes me is he owes me, you know, basically he's done 3/8 of $66,000 worth of work for me. So
if you
could
put a price on that, what would the price be?
Well, he owes me 5/8 of that, and he owes me a commission that I did the Ring of Honor contract for him. He promised me a 10% fee for that. And then I bought some photographs to be used on the RicFlair.com website, which I kicked a squatter off of for him. And I wasn't paid back for any of that stuff. So, you know, I went to the mediation with the idea that if I went to a trial and I won, I already knew what my projected trial cost would be, and I subtracted that number, and I said, as long as I get to this number, I'll walk out of here, and I'll just live with it, and I'll just put this behind me, and I'll be done with it, and then we'll just, you know, it's been a long process. So,
yeah.
You know, the reason this is so frustrating for me is I get emails from Ric Flair fans saying, why are you doing this to him? I love Ric Flair, the wrestler. I absolutely do. And I hope one day, I understand it's strange, I hope one day I can work with him again. He's got so much talent. I hope I can work with him again. But if someone owed you $60,000, wouldn't you want to collect it too?
Yeah, but you got to feed your family. I mean, that's the thing. What if you can, without messing everything up, as far as what happens with legal, what, and I'm just being nosy here, but what is your happy price? What's the price that if he were to come to you today or tomorrow after hearing this and say, okay, look, I heard you on the show. I want to settle. What can I give you to make you happy? What's your happy price to make it all go away?
Well, at mediation, that was confidential. When he violated the mediation agreement and didn't pay me, and we had to take it to the next step, which ultimately led to him being arrested. He is arrested. I want people to understand that. He's arrested for violating the mediation agreement. In North Carolina, that arrested, when you get arrested, it can get stayed for 30 days. So basically, from the point he got arrested, they gave him 30 days to say, hey, listen, we're not going to put you in jail yet, but you have 30 days notice.
If you don't settle, we will.
It's not that you don't settle. He can hand you the money right now, and he's still going to go to jail until he petitions the court and proves to them that he's followed up with his obligations. And then a judge can say, okay, you know, I'll strike this, We're not going to pick you up. We're not going to put you in jail.
So it's kind of like failure to pay child support.
I'm sorry?
It's kind of like failure to pay child support.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, but to answer your question, the reason I can even say this number, iSpots agreed to take $35,000, and we agreed to take 300 autographed photos of Ric Flair to settle this, and we were done.
Knowing Flair, do you have to watch him sign these photos to make sure?
Oh, yeah, no, that was part of the deal. I'm taking photos of... Hey, listen, I don't want to... It's not that I think Ric Flair is a dishonest person. I think Ric Flair, through all the things he's seen and all the years he's been in the ring, he just has a distorted view of reality. He really does. He is so disconnected from what you and I know is fact.
Right.
He's just so disconnected from that it makes him a person that is a great character, and it's great for wrestling, that it's a hard human being to do business with.
Well, it's kind of like if somebody played Superman on television for 30 years, and then the show stopped, and he retired. They had a big send-off and a cast party, and everybody loved this guy and knew this guy only as Superman. And then in his real day-to-day life, a few weeks later, somebody was robbing a bank, and he actually tried to go in and save the day. That's what it sounds like to me. Rick has just been Ric Flair for so long that everybody loves him, and he just thinks that because he's Ric Flair that, you know, if he wants to come out and say the sky is green, by God, it's green because he's Ric Flair.
Sad, you know, but true.
It's sad, but it's reality. I mean, this guy has started to believe that he's everything he's cut in a promo.
And, you know, and you have to understand, you know, he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Name another celebrity that you've heard of that lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, if you take NASCAR out of the equation.
Yeah, you take NASCAR out.
I mean, other than NASCAR guys and maybe guys that play for professional sports franchises, Ric Flair, quite honestly, is the biggest celebrity that lives in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And he acts like it.
And he's treated like it in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Absolutely.
And everywhere else, basically. But to make sure that we're all on the same page here, you made a settlement, you came to an agreement, and Rick failed to meet said agreement, and the police were involved. They arrested Rick, but because of the way this goes down, they didn't necessarily take Rick to jail. They just arrested him and told him, hey, look, we'll be back in 30 days if you don't make, you know, the right, you know, payment to the person you owe and let the court know that everything is settled. We'll be back in 30 days to actually take you to jail for what we're arresting you for today. And you're telling me that all he owes you because of your agreement is $35,000 and 300 autographed photos. And he can't even do that to keep his ass out of jail?
Well, the question of whether he can do it or chooses not to do it is only a question that Ric Flair can answer.
But you also tell me that it's a rumor, not confirmed, but that you pretty much said that, you know, when going through his deals that he was offered, TNA paid him around $400,000 to come to TNA. Now, I don't have Ric Flair's bills, so I don't know what he's got to pay out of that money. But I'm pretty sure it'd be a whole lot easier to hand you a guy that he considered a friend and a guy that bailed him out when basically he was left with nothing because he retired from the WWE. They didn't want him back until later, but they wrote him off television, took him off the product, gave him a big, you know, retirement at the end of Raw. It's kind of one of those things where you wake up the next day and you think to yourself, wow, what do I do now? I don't have any money coming in. I have no income coming in, but I still have bills that I've got to pay. So then he goes to you or you go to him and you work out an agreement. The first time it goes smoothly, but before the first agreement is even finished, you loan him even more money and strike up a second deal in which he does not follow through with at all. He gives you the NWA World Heavyweight Championship as collateral on this agreement, and you find out that somebody else already owns that belt from a deal that he failed to complete before this. And now you've gone to court and agreed to terms, which to me, $35,000 is a huge deal. To you and your company, High Spots, I'm sure it's still a decent amount of money. And you've got an agreement through the court system with Ric Flair for $35,000 and 300 photos. And now, due to his lack of payment over a span of how long has it been?
Well, since the mediation agreement, it's been a couple of months.
Okay,
going back to the original loan, we're talking about approaching 3 years.
So now we're knocking on the door of 3 years from the time he gave you this belt, took your money, and agreed to do a schedule that he did not do and did not complete. Now it's gone so far as he's been arrested, and within 30 days of whatever that date was last week or the week before, if he doesn't come to you and make, you know, good on his promise, or good on his agreement, rather, he's going to jail.
He's going to jail for 90 days. And then what happens if he does, he can pay it at any point while he's in jail, and then he can get himself out. But if he doesn't, he'll stay in there for 90 days, and they'll release him, and then I'll file another piece of paper that says he still hasn't paid me, and then the clock will start again, and then they'll give him 30 days to pay again. And if he doesn't pay, he'll go to jail again for another 90 days. And they'll just repeat the process until it's determined either that he cannot pay, in which case they won't put him in jail, or we'll just keep going through this process. Now, I do not believe Ric Flair is going to spend 1 second in jail. I believe he could probably write a check today. I mean, the guy has done numerous appearances outside of pro wrestling for Coca-Cola, for Walmart, for the lotteries. He's been part of three different lottery commercials, and commercials that also involve appearances. So we're not just talking about the money he earns from TNA is the only money he receives to make a living. Don't feel sorry for Ric Flair. Ric Flair earns more than enough money to pay off all his child support, alimony, you know, legal bills that he incurs. Ric Flair still acts like Ric Flair each and every Wednesday, Friday, Saturday night. It's well documented. And if you're part of his inner circle, which I was for a while, I can tell you that he's a very generous human being.
Now, I want to correct Trey on something real quick. Flair had every intentions of leaving the WWE. They wanted to keep him along. Flair wanted to go out and make it on his own. He felt like he needed to cut ties with the WWE to prove that he could be on his own. So they never really wanted to lose him.
I knew that they had offered him that deal for being an ambassador to the company, and I knew that he turned that down.
Yeah.
Well, the reason he turned it down, and again, I have firsthand knowledge of this, so I'm telling you this is a fact. They offered him $250,000 to be this ambassador. He wanted them to pay $250,000 to be the ambassador, and then another $250,000 to be part of the 24/7 project. So he felt like they were asking him to do two jobs, only willing to pay him for one. The other problem that WWE has, several other wrestlers have run into this, like Mickie James ran into the same problem as it relates to her music career. Maria Kanellis ran into the same problem as it relates to her acting career, is when you work for the WWE, WWE has to be your first priority. So they couldn't assure that Rick can go and take these lottery commercials, these Coca-Cola signings, you know, while he was the ambassador of WWE. So it kind of, Rick realized, I can make a lot more money working for myself than I can for WWE.
Right.
He wanted to be part of the WWE family. He did.
So I guess my question is this. At the end of the day, with what he made for TNA, what he makes for the lottery, Coca-Cola, whatever else Ric Flair has his hands in, why at the end of the day, to a guy that was in his inner circle, hanging out with his wife, you and your fiance, you know all his kids, you still talk to some of his kids, you had what would be considered a great relationship with your childhood hero. My question would be, with all that said, why is he just not willing to pay you what he owes you? And make it all go away. Question.
Yeah, I can't answer that question. I'm amazed that we've gotten to the point that we're at. I'm in disbelief that I've had to go as far as I have to recover. Well, I haven't recovered a penny yet, but to be in a position where I'm about to recover some money, and that's why I can't even begin to believe that Ric Flair may be in jail, because I think who would cost him more money to be in jail than if he was out of jail. But at this point, why should it surprise me if he ends up going to jail? Like, everything he's done so far has surprised me. Why should I be surprised if he ends up in jail?
Well, I got to tell you, my friend.
So I've come on this radio station to make a plea to Dixie Carter. Dixie, please write me a check.
Yeah, you want to keep your boy on TV, you better be writing him a check.
That's right. Fair
and,
enough.
And, you know, when we talked about this, the guys hit me up about bringing you on the show. I thought, yeah, this is a great idea. And you've basically told me everything I've always heard about Ric Flair. And everybody that I've ever heard this kind of stuff from also says, now, Rick is a good guy. He's a generous guy. He's a great guy. But it would be like me owing JJ $5 and an autographed 8x10, and just out of almost spite, not paying him back and giving him my favorite pair of shoes for collateral that I already gave to somebody else. I mean, that's how trivial this amount of money is to a guy like Ric Flair. Has to be. It's $35,000.
One other thing I want to share. When we were at mediation, it was, I want to say late February, and I was in the middle of planning a big part of Wrestle Reunion, which is a wrestling convention that we take around the country and even now Canada. We were planning the individual talent that would appear at the Wrestle Reunion in Atlanta. I knew at that time that Ric Flair was going to be in Atlanta for the Hall of Fame. And I said, Rick, listen, you're already going to be in Atlanta. Why don't you come over to the Marriott Hotel on Sunday? I'll set you up at a table. We'll charge whatever it is you want to charge for your autograph and pictures. And dollar for dollar, whatever you take in, I'll take that off this debt. I have no problem doing that. And he said, absolutely not. That if you want to use me, that I need you that it, for a 2-hour appearance, my price now is $15,000, and I'm not going to budge from that price. So you can imagine how shocked I am. I am a guy that he owes, you know, over $50,000 to, quite honestly. Gives me $50,000, and I give him an opportunity to work it off dollar for dollar, not appearance for appearance, because remember, he still owes me 5 appearances. He wouldn't come here and say, hey, listen, I'll come to Atlanta and knock off 1 appearance. He wouldn't come to Atlanta and say, dollar for dollar, let's take this off whenever we agree at this mediation. No, his only offer to me was, he paid me $15,000 for a 2-hour appearance.
It's like the old joke. Guy goes to the restaurant, orders a steak, salad, has several drinks. They bring him the tab, and he lost his wallet. And they say, well, you can always go back and wash dishes and work it off. Rick's just not willing to wash the dishes.
No, he's not.
And it's sad. I mean, it's sad because you look up to these people like they can do no wrong, as the wrestling fans we are. And it would hurt my feelings to hear that, you know, a guy like Sting did this to somebody, you know, or, you know, name one of your favorite wrestlers. It would hurt your feelings to know that the guy that is your favorite, or the guy that you look up to, that you believed in your entire youth going into your adult life, would do this to somebody. If not like, you know, you and Rick were sitting at the bar having drinks one night, And he said, man, I got to pay this child support, and I got to make a car payment this month. And you offered just to bail him out. This is something you went out of your way. You did. Now, granted, let's not be idiots here. You stood to make some money off of this. But in the grand scheme of things, where we are right now, it's as simple as $35,000 and 300 autographed photos. That's what you guys agreed on in the court system. It's legal, binding. That's all it is. And as much bad publicity as this guy has got, for all the stupid things he's done with money and to people in his life that's been publicized, he's now going to a company that's already got a black eye with Jeff Hardy. You know, here he is in TNA now, and he risks being put in jail for 90 days. What are you going to do, TNA Television? How are you going to write that off? Now, if Rick owed Michael $1 million, I'd say that's Rick's problem. But we're talking $35,000 and 300 photos. TNA, you need to get with Rick and make this happen before you get another black eye. And the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, is already crapping on your product right and left. You know, my dad used to have a saying, when the rats start to jump off the ship, it's time for you to leave too, because that means it's going down. It's going down fast. And every day I read in the news about a wrestler leaving TNA. Read about two of them today, Foley and Dreamer, leaving TNA. Why do you think that is, people? And here we have Ric Flair about to give that company another black eye in the public eye again.
Well, bottom line, it's not even about TNA Wrestling. It's about Ric Flair paying his personal commitments. You know, usually in life, a man's word is his bond. And as we've learned with Ric Flair, his word obviously doesn't mean much. And, you know, he's just do the right thing, pay the $35,000, sign the photographs, and be done with it. But if he's for some reason wanted to spite all this, I don't know. I just can't figure out
why he wouldn't do it to make it go away. Like something that you would be ashamed of the public finding out, you know, like hush money,
right,
you know?
Right.
I broke the law. I want to make this go away. I don't want this in the news. I don't want this on the headlines. Get me an attorney. Let's make this go away before it ever goes to court. I would think that's what Rick would want to do.
Well, you know, even after he gets done with me, however this ends up resolving, like, I know for a fact, Ring of Honor Wrestling is still owed a lot of money.
Yep.
They paid up front. There's a written contract. Rick was going to do a certain amount of appearances for Ring of Honor, a certain amount of TV appearances, a certain amount of live appearances. I mean, you guys probably know the story that he went up to Ring of Honor and basically quit the company.
Yep.
When he quit that company, he never gave them the money back that they had prepaid.
Yep, I remember hearing about that.
And I don't, honestly, I don't know why. And I'll listen when maybe one day when you interview Kerry Silkin or if he's passed with debt on to Sinclair, you know, why are they not right behind me? You know, where are they? Because I know for a fact Ric Flair owes them money.
We've interviewed him before. I don't know. Has that ever come up, JJ?
No, I've never asked Kerry Silkin about it, but, you know, now that he's not owner of ROH anymore, I don't know if it's something that he cares about. He's still a figurehead with the company, but...
Right.
Well, I would imagine that Sinclair didn't want to have anything to do with this legal entanglement, and I would assume that Kerry probably is still the party that would have to sue in order to get this money back. I can't imagine that Sinclair would now have to be the party to sue Ric Flair. I can't imagine that they would take that obligation on.
Well, as Boom Boom says in the chat, somebody's got to go after him, or he'll keep doing it.
And well, so also in the chat, you know, I hope you get your money. I think you eventually will. You just need to hope that Rick doesn't hire Jeff Hardy's law firm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he's hired someone just as good because this thing has this thing has taken way longer than it seemed to take. But, and I know a lot of people don't want to know the differences, but Jeff Hardy's issue is with the government. And those types of things have a lot of delays with them. This is a civil matter.
Right.
Right.
And the amount of time that this has taken is astronomical.
But at least we've knocked it down to where he's got less than 30 days to do what's right and get you your money and your autographs, or he's going to jail.
That's true.
And that's the black and white of it right there.
True. His new attorney has made it very clear in public through the statement she put out that he fully intends to pay, and I fully intend to cash the check once they do.
Absolutely. Now, Trey had alluded to something earlier on the broadcast. I've got a sound clip. We actually put this together last year when we revamped the show, and this was around the time the whole Ric Flair and his wife were in the news over the domestic violence claim. And so I want to play this for you, but before we let you go, Michael, I think you'll get a kick out of it. This is what we call a day in the life of Ric Flair.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling News Live is proud to bring to you a day in the life of Ric Flair. Woo!
Rick, take out the trash!
Today! Right here, you gotta beat Ric Flair!
Rick, are you wearing that robe again in here?
Woo!
I told you, no one wears it in here but me.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Rick, the dishes aren't done. Get the dishes done, Rick!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo! Right here. I'm the man.
Or I'll show you who's the man.
I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. Woo!
That's it, pretty boy. It's on now.
We got a 22 deuce. That's a domestic disturbance over at 77 Cordalis Street.
This has been a day in the life of Ric Flair, brought to you by Wrestling News Live.
And an uncanny resemblance to his wife, Jacqueline.
It's kind of one of those where we said, you know, we don't know exactly what happened because we weren't there, but we think it might have went a little something like this.
Oh, man.
It's pretty good, guys.
All right, well, for fear of butchering this man's last name, JJ, take us out of here. And Michael, I am going to give you a call in a day or so. I'd like to talk to you about some other stuff off the air. And want to let everybody else know, how do they go about getting this two-week trial of High Spots TV?
Again, just send me an email to support@highspots.com. Just give me about 24 hours, and I'll get you your own little link there, and you can sign up and try it out.
All right, so everybody in the Wrestling News Live universe, which there are thousands of you, thank God, go and hit this man up on this offer and get your two-week free trial of High Spots TV. JJ?
With that being said, guys, this was Michael Buchicchio of HighSpots.com. Michael, thanks for joining us tonight, and I'll be giving you a call tomorrow. Had fun, man. It was great.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll definitely get your story out there, so we're setting the record straight.
I appreciate it.
All right, Michael.
All right, man. Thanks.
We'll talk to you later. All right, guys. Once again, Michael Buchicchio, HighSpots.com. And if you want that offer from HighSpots, it's support@highspots.com. 2 weeks free of High Spots TV. I'm checking that out for sure. On that note, I want to go ahead and hit a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. You know what? We're going to open the phone lines. I didn't watch Raw tonight, so I don't know what happened.
And I did. Is that really support@highspots.com? Is that what he said?
Support@highspots.com, yes.
Okay. I'm putting it in the chat room.
Okay.
But yeah, I did watch Raw. Kind of you didn't miss a whole lot. So,
well, if you want to cover it briefly, we can do that, but I didn't watch it. I was too busy watching the E3 coverage. As you know, I'm boycotting Raw. So with that said, guys, we're going to come right back with more Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, guys, this is Concept, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network.
I just said that.
I heard it.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain, and I'm on Planet Jarrett right now, listening to Wrestling News Live.
Hello, I'm the mastermind, Mr. Zodiac.
And I am Sergei Heminov, Russia's seven-time world Rubik's Cube champion.
And if you are looking for somewhere where your voice can be heard,
where your opinions are not shut down by capitalist pigs,
where the best and latest wrestling topics are discussed,
and where your pregnant wife can be sold for a pig and a tractor,
then look. Wait, what?
I said where you can send in your questions and have them answered by wrestling fans.
That's not what you said.
Yes, it was. I have not had 4 shots of vodka for no lost memory.
Anyway, if you enjoy wrestling as much as we do, then look no further than What Would Fans Do. If you've heard something from the latest wrestling news or want to comment on your favorite WWFD podcast, no matter what the opinion, question, or comment may be, we want to hear from you. Please don't hesitate to get in contact with us via our email, wwfd@ymail.com, and also on Twitter at @SNS_WWFD.
Oh, and Mr. Zod, do not be forgetting our new Facebook page. Just search for What Would Fans Do on SNS on Facebook. SNS, the best interactive wrestling radio network in the world.
What Would Fans Do, archived every Saturday night, right here on SundayNightShowdown.com.
When you want wrestling radio, you must look no further
than the SNS Radio Network.
Come now, let's have some vodka.
Yeah. With a pocket full of shells.
Sunday, June 19th, from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., appropriately titled Capital Punishment.
Oh, yes.
And, Book, who better to talk about capital punishment than the President of the United States?
Man, I'm going to say, can you imagine the President having a press conference for capital punishment? It'll probably go a little bit of something like this.
Good afternoon, everybody.
President, would you agree that WWE Capital Punishment is a clever pay-per-view name?
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that.
We heard that WWE superstar The Miz might run against you in 2012. How do you feel about that?
I'm happy to have that battle.
Awesome.
President. But what makes capital punishment so entertaining? Is it John Cena, Randy Orton?
I'm confident that's what the American people are looking for.
Would you ever consider becoming a WWE superstar?
Can you picture that, Chuck?
And I understand, Booker, that there's quite a guest list for capital punishment.
Five. Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening to JJ and Trey Wrestling News Live on the S&S Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
The S&S Radio Network, it's the only network out there where if you're not listening, DDP will come to your house and give you a diamond cutter, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn straight.
This is the network for the exclusives. Michael Bukikio, HighSpots.com, Diamond Dallas Page, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall not too long ago. We've got China next week. I mean, does it ever stop here? And, hey, I've got some breaking news for you guys.
Uh-oh.
You're going to get a kick out of this.
I probably don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't, actually. DDP was on the show last week, right?
Right.
And we talked about YRG. We talked about a lot of his appearances. Well,
yes.
And then we had Nash, about a month ago? Over a month ago?
Yeah, it's been a little while, yeah.
Well, I just found out this past week that as of, I believe it is the 17th of this month, which is next weekend.
Right.
It looks like Diamond Dallas Page and Kevin Nash will, in fact, be here in Calgary for the Calgary Comic Expo. And they're going to be with such stars as William Shatner, Jonathan Frakes, Summer Glau, Jess Harnell of Rock Sugar. You know that I love that band, Rock Sugar.
Oh, yeah. You love Rock Sugar.
So it looks like I am in the process right now of getting accreditation as media for the event. Mark the Shark, DiCarlo, and I are going to go to the event, whether we're in as media or we have to pay to get in. But I plan on talking with both DDP and Nash, maybe getting some footage for the website. And I'm going to try and set some stuff up with some of the other stars there for future Unplugged. So things to look forward to.
You know what I want?
What's that?
I want you to try and get a liner from William Shatner.
That is my goal, my friend.
I want to get, if we had a theme song, but we really don't have a theme song. It's just some guitar music. If there's really not, we don't have a theme. I wish we had our own theme, and then you could get him to sing it like he does the WWE wrestler themes.
Well, you think you might break out some, Trey's just a sexy boy. I don't think that's going to happen, Trey. I don't think that's going to happen, bro. Sorry. I know that you
if
probably
you
want that
to
happen.
If you
could just
get us a liner where he mentions our names like DDP does. That's my favorite liner right there.
It's in the works. I'm not going to promise anything, guys, but you know, obviously with this network, we cover video games, we cover movies.
How ironic now that I got this on my Facebook, I got it on Twitter from different people. I don't know what sparked this, but everybody wants us, and this is before they knew about the China thing, by the way. everybody's wanting us to get an interview with Sean X-Pac Waltman.
Well,
it's been the most requested interview in the last few weeks for us. So maybe that's something we need to work out. I don't know.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up. I want to go to the phone lines really quick. Joining us right now on the Skype line, powered by headlocks2headlines.com, we have the editor-in-chief and owner-operator of headlocks2headlines.com, the fucking foreign kid, Chris Kelly. What's on your mind, man? What's going on?
You know, I'm just chilling out here in England, and I'm actually here to give you some breaking news from the Raw tapings.
Okay.
And actually, after the Raw tapings, and I will have to credit the PW Torch, apparently, The Miz might have suffered a broken leg in a dark match.
Oh, that's not good.
Who was he wrestling?
He was wrestling John Cena. Cena did a spot where he FU'd Miz to the outside. The Miz landed awkwardly and was quickly taken to the back and was transported to a local hospital. And from all reports, apparently he'd broken his leg.
Wow.
If that is true, and he'd broken his leg, that's a bad thing right now for the WWE.
That's a major blow.
You know what? It is and it isn't at the same time. As much as I love The Miz, and it's going to suck if he's off TV, this now gives somebody the opportunity to step it up on the Raw roster. Alberto Del Rio is going to be a bigger player now with Miz out of the picture. With CM Punk rumored to be leaving the company this summer, Alberto Del Rio is going to be a major player. This could be a big opportunity for a guy like Truth, who has been stepping it up in recent weeks as a heel, and this could be a big break for R-Truth. I mean, who knows? Anytime you get a guy like that injured and off the shelf, it makes other people step up.
And it also would make for a great comeback for The Miz when he does come back.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. If he is injured, would he come back as a face? Because I think he has tons of face potential.
You know what? Usually in a situation like that, when you come back after an injury, I mean, Triple H is one of the, you know, a big proponent for this. You remember 2001 when he was part of the two-man power trip with Steve Austin, and he tore his quad in the ring.
With Jericho.
And Jericho had him in the Walls of Jericho for like 2 minutes after that.
Yeah.
And then he was out for 9 months. He comes back and is an immediate face because of the crowd reaction. I think this is very possible the direction they'll go with The Miz if, in fact, he's out. I mean, timing sucks, and it sucks that The Miz, you know, if he did break his leg, that you know, this has happened. But on the other hand, it gives him time to heal. It gives him a lot of time to kind of sit back and revamp the character when he comes back. So as much of, you know, a bad thing as this could be, guys, this could be something good in the works for The Miz when he comes back. It's obviously going to make the people on Raw step up to take that spot.
Well, Cutting Edge in the chat room says it better than I could. You know, don't worry about Miz. He'll be fine. This is devastating for Alex Riley.
I disagree. Alex Riley does not have to have The Miz put him over. Again, you've got a guy like R-Truth that right now...
Yeah, but kind of now you're in that spot where you're going to go,
well, but
what do you do now?
Hear me out, Trey. Hear me out. You've got a guy like R-Truth that's kind of ascending the ladder. You've got Alberto Del Rio. You've got other guys that can work with Alex Riley on this brand.
You do. But what I'm saying is, do you really want to see him move on before he closes this chapter? And that's the thing, is that, yeah, he could go on and wrestle Truth. He could go on and wrestle Del Rio. Those would be great feuds. But there's just that, it's like closure in a relationship.
Okay, but at the same time, right now you're looking at it from the standpoint that there looks like they're trying to push Riley as a face, and we,
right.
You know, even tonight, from what I'm reading, he teamed with John Cena,
yeah.
Right? So what happens is you make Riley a bigger name by having him buddy buddy with John Cena, and then in the end, turning on John Cena. And then you're going toward establishing Riley. So trust me, as much as you think this might be a bad thing for this guy, in the long term, if Miz is out, there are ways to salvage this and make Riley a credible heel. He's done a fantastic job as Miz's lackey. Now let's see what he can do outside the box.
I'm not sure if this confirms Miz is injured, but The Miz just tweeted, "Pray for The Miz." That's what he just tweeted a minute ago. So
you know what is true. Regardless of whether you like the Miz or not, definitely, you know, keep him in your prayers, and I hope everything's going okay with him. I mean, it's a business. You know, the Miz character is a little over the top. It's not what he's really like in real life. And, you know, we don't ever on this program or any other program on the network wish anybody to get hurt, because you know what?
No.
You don't want anybody's livelihood to be affected. So regardless of what's going on, I hope it's nothing major. But if Miz is out for a while, I wish him a speedy recovery.
I would love to pull some strings, especially if the guy's going to be out for a while, and see about getting an interview with the Miz like that. Just to keep him out there, you know, keep his name out there. You know, I've seen it done before with other superstars. But my question is, what are we going to do with the pay-per-view with the Alex Riley match between him and the Miz?
Well, card is subject to change.
That's true. I'm just saying, do you throw Jack Swagger at him maybe?
Well, who's CM Punk working?
Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
I thought about putting him in there with Dolph and Kofi.
Jack Swagger might be the best option right now.
I think Swagger's your better option.
Or McIntyre, if you give him a push.
Well, at this point, McIntyre would be like, yawn.
You could give the fans what they want and have Zack Ryder on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's a little too soon for that. Crelly, I wanted to talk to you real quick, but before we let you go.
Really? Because I don't ever want to talk to him.
I figured you were calling to kind of break the news on what's going on this week on the network.
Okay. So this week's Unplugged, we are set to have two interviews. And I teased it on Twitter earlier. I tweeted the words, Knockout Outlaw.
Be careful, because if you announce who it is, all the other wrestling radio shows on the planet will try to book them for the same fucking show.
Well, we're used to that by now.
Let's hope not. Okay, so the first interview is a friend of ours. It's actually Christy Hemme. So
that's
part one of the interview. Number two is the Road Dogg. So that's who we got scheduled for this week's Unplugged.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how I'm going to do this yet. I'm telling you, both interviews are not airing on Unplugged this week. So one of the interviews will air on Unplugged, and the other one will be extra content that I will make available on the network and archive over the weekend. So regardless, you're going to hear both of those interviews this week. I just don't know which one I'm deciding to put at this point in time on Unplugged. It's just going to be a wait-and-see kind of thing.
It's a point, if you will.
Because Unplugged is going to be pretty packed this week with all the E3 talk, and I've got a movie review for X-Men First Class. So, busy show on Friday. It's going to be jam-packed.
Exactly.
Anyway, explain to me something without totally stealing the thunder from Unplugged.
Yes.
Number one, my first question, I should just look this up, but I'm lazy. Who plays Wolverine in First Class?
Hugh Jackman.
Okay. Now, with that being said, explain to me how he fits in with the First Class.
Spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear, if you do not want to hear what happens in X-Men First Class with the spoiler, turn it down for about 2 minutes, okay? That being said, I'm going to talk about it now. You've been warned. There is a scene in X-Men First Class. There are two scenes, one of which has Wolverine, and the other scene has another cameo, which I won't spoil for you. However, there is a scene where both Charles Xavier, played by James McAvoy, and Magneto, or Eric Lyncher, played by Michael Fassbender, are going in search of mutants. They've obviously built Cerebro at this point. They've pinpointed some of the mutants. They're trying to go and recruit so that they can go up against the Hellfire Club, which is led by, of course, Sebastian Shaw.
Right.
And the White Queen, who we know as Emma Frost. So
they do have Emma in there as a bad guy?
Emma is, yeah, she's bad.
Because in the cartoon series right now, the most recent cartoon series, she's an X-Men.
Yes. But she originally was in the Hellfire Club. She was an X-Men for a while.
She's a bad bitch, and she's hot as fuck, too. I'd fuck the cartoon.
I hear you. Also, other members of the Hellfire Club, there was one guy, I don't know who the fuck he is, but he like, controls the wind and does, like, tornadoes and shit. And then there was the other guy that is going to end up being Nightcrawler's father, because he's a red guy that looks just like Nightcrawler, named Azazel. and he has teleportation as his power. So when you look at Mystique and you look at Azazel, you really have to come to the conclusion that's where Nightcrawler came from.
Yeah.
Okay? A little foreshadowing there, just so you know. Now, back to the spoiler. They're going out recruiting these mutants to join their team because they're working for the CIA. And they walk into this bar, and the first thing that you see is a guy smoking a cigar. And then it pans up, and you see both McAvoy and Fassbender walk up behind him and say, "I'm Charles Xavier, and this is my associate, Eric Lyncher." And then Wolverine says, "Go fuck yourselves." And they look at each other, and they walk out of the bar.
That's it?
And that is his cameo in the movie.
Okay.
It's priceless. It's priceless. The whole
because
movie.
Now I'm trying to put a time frame on all this. When First Class was the First Class, Wolverine was fighting in Canada with Alpha Flight as a member of Alpha Flight. Because Wolverine didn't become a solo character until after Alpha Flight, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, granted, he was in that episode of the Incredible Hulk that he debuted in, but I'm pretty sure that he was a member of Alpha Flight and then a solo character after that.
Well, I mean, considering Wolverine is, you know, what, over 100 years old, I mean, he was a solo character for a while, but, I mean, yeah, he wasn't Alpha Flight after the whole Adamantium process. I mean, when you look at the whole X-Men continuity, you know, in the movies, it's totally fucked. I mean,
Rogue was a kid to Wolverine as an adult.
Well, okay, here's what kills me about the X-Men series, okay? I love X-Men, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about a comic book that came out in the 60s. So, you know what, we're 2011 now, so we're talking, you know, 60 years of, or 50 years of continuity that you could have pulled stories out of.
Right.
You know, you go back to 2000 when they had the first X-Men movie. I wasn't a big fan of Iceman as a kid, you know.
Right, well, he's supposed to be a part of the First Class.
Exactly. Iceman, Beast, you know, Marvel Girl, which we know is Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Angel were all the First Class of the X-Men. And now, granted, they decided to go a different route. Now, with this movie, you know, you do have Beast, you do have, you actually have Havoc, which is another one that's kind of fucked up because that's
he was
Scott
not an
Summers'
X-Men.
Brother.
That's yeah, Cyclops' brother.
Yeah,
he wasn't
exactly.
an X-Men.
No, he was part of the, what was it, X-Factor, which was a different group. But anyway, bottom line, it's a good movie. I don't want to spoil too much more of it, but a very good movie. I definitely recommend you go see it. This is the movie they should have made 11 years ago. And I want to talk to Walkie. I'll probably end up on the Elite Force podcast soon to talk about this. But
oh, with him and Buttwipe.
I basically put out a tweet and said it was a nice reboot for the series. And he goes, it's supposed to be a prequel. Well, spoiler alert again. And this is where I don't believe it is a prequel, okay? When you go back and you watch the X-Men movies, and unless they're taking the third X-Men movie out and it doesn't exist, then this can't be a prequel. Because, well, even with the first two X-Men movies, in this particular version of the X-Men in First Class, at the end of the movie, something happens to Charles Xavier that puts him in a wheelchair. Okay? As a young man. Now, you flash forward to the other X-Men movies, most notably X-Men Last Stand, the last one. The movie starts off 20 years prior when they go to Jean Grey's house and bring her to Xavier's school. And both Charles Xavier and Magneto are much older men. And Charles can still walk at this point. So he's not in a wheelchair. So already you've ruined the continuity. If you want to go that route. Also, in the first X-Men movie, Charles Xavier is baffled as to why he can't sense the thoughts of Magneto. And we find out it's because he has a helmet that shields him. Well, in X-Men First Class, the helmet actually belongs to Sebastian Shaw, who does it so he can shield his mind from psychics. And, of course, Magneto takes it from Sebastian Shaw. And Xavier knows about it. So again, how can it be a prequel when you really have gone about rebooting it by doing these things? Makes no logical sense.
It's like if you watch the first Batman with Michael Keaton, the very first Batman.
Yeah.
with Jack Nicklaus as the Joker. Fucking Harvey Dent is played by Billy Dee Williams. Well, Harvey Dent turns out to be Two-Face. Two-Face wasn't black.
Yeah, but see, shit like that happens all the time. It doesn't matter if an actor is black or white. They can still make that work. I mean, we've seen shit like that happen before. Nick Fury was never a black man until recent years. Nick Fury...
Yeah, now in the new Batmans, the most recent Batman, Harvey Dent was a white guy.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about two separate directors and two separate casting directors. Two-Face was always a white man. He was never a black man. In the Batman Tim Burton movie, yes. He was cast as a black man.
I was like, Two-Face is fucking Lando Calrissian. I want my fucking money back.
That's just like in Daredevil. The guy that, you know, what Michael Clark Duncan, who played the Kingpin. Kingpin was never a black character until Daredevil came out and they cast Michael Clark Duncan. And then every animated series of Daredevil or Spider-Man that came out after that, they turned Kingpin into a black man. So this happens a lot in comics.
See, they're making the bad guys black. That's just not right for black people.
Wait a minute. Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, he ain't a bad guy.
No, but I like the... Did you ever see the Chappelle show where they had the controversy of all the Jedis molesting the younger Jedis?
I did, yeah.
And they go, let's go live to Mace Windu. And it's Samuel L. Jackson and his Kango and shit.
You know what the best part of that was? When they showed the video footage of Yoda.
Yeah.
He's like,
who do this cook makes me?
He's like, see, what was the line? He's like, get wet, do you?
Who do this cook makes me? Good blow this is.
Yeah, there was some sick shit on the Chappelle show. Anyway, no, go watch the movie. I don't want to spoil anymore, but good flick. I really enjoyed it.
So only on Wrestling News Live can you go from X-Man First Class to Yoda snorting cocaine and molesting young Jedis.
All right, another spoiler alert, and it's because the black redneck in the chat has to bring it up. The only mutant that dies in X-Men First Class, well, that's not true. There's actually another one that dies, too. But the first mutant that dies in X-Men First Class happens to be a black man.
Oh.
Coincidence? I think not.
See? That's what I'm talking about. The fucking black people have no good comic book heroes.
Yeah, whatever happened to Black Panther?
I was just talking to Double H about this on Xbox Live the other night with Horseman and Deadeye. He's trying to tell me that Walt Disney was racist and that all my fucking childhood characters were all racist. He said Dumbo was the most racist movie ever made because the crows were black and they couldn't read and they couldn't write. I said, fuck no, they couldn't read and write. They're crows.
Ashley says, what about Spawn? He was a black guy. He was a hero, even though he was from hell.
Well, was he a black guy in the comic book series, or was he just a black guy in the movie?
No, he was a black guy in the series.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah.
Blank Man.
Quick, to the Blank Mobile.
Hancock.
Oh, shit. We're grasping.
The Black Panther. He's the only one I knew of.
Yeah, Black Panther. You don't hear green people bitching about the Martian Manhunter is the only green motherfucker out there to help them.
I just can't believe that the black people haven't rallied about their superheroes not getting justice.
For all you green people, there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Trent says, those fucking crows were racist.
What about the Savage Dragon? His ass was green. What about the Hulk? All you green people need to shut the fuck up. You're represented.
Blade.
Yeah, Blade's black.
But he was a vampire, so he also sucked.
Well, there you go. But anyway, that concludes. Crowley, anything further, man?
No, I'm good.
Juice, that was a good one.
Deep Blue Sea, a fucking shark ate me. Oh, God, it's getting bad. It's breaking down on this show. We had such a great interview with Michael. And now it's broken down. It's broken down. I don't know how to save the show.
Macho Man Mays, who is a black man, says, we don't care about black superheroes. And I'm paraphrasing. We don't care about black superheroes. Just give me some fried chicken.
Did Mays say that or did Mark Henry?
Damn. And on that note, I'm departing before this show turned into a train wreck.
On a related note, Ron Simmons is in the studio, and he's looking at me right now. He's shaking his head. Wait a second. What was that, Ron?
Damn! Good blue this is.
And I'm out. Peace.
All right. Later, Crowley. On that note...
Who was Steel? Steel was Black Superman, wasn't he?
Steel was Black Superman. He was played by, what, Shaquille O'Neal?
But, I mean, how did that all happen? How did we get a Black Superman?
Because Superman died.
Right.
And then they had all these other Supermen that popped up. You had Superboy, and you had the Cyborg Superman, and then you had Steel, who was the Man of Steel, and they were all vying to be the next Superman.
Dwight Howard.
Blackula. Blackula was some cool shit, man. I fucking saw Blackula. That shit. Have you never seen Blackula?
All I remember when I see Blackula is I think of Richard Pryor.
Dude, I tell you what, man. They made a mistake. They should have cast Billy Dee Williams for Blackula. Hey there, lovely lady. How'd you like some Colt 45? I'll show you how bad I suck. Come here, girl.
You want to suck on my what?
Welcome to Total Clusterfuck Live. Who's this? Caller, you're on the air.
You're on the air, dude.
Oh, it's me. Oh, my bad, man.
Man. Shit. What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't know, man. I guess I had a moment. I was tripping for a minute. It's the Pope. Say, it's the Pope.
Hold on a second.
What's up?
Hold on a second. I'm watching the replay of Raw right now because it's on my screen. And I didn't know Booker T wrestled tonight.
He's just a Booker T. Yeah, he wrestled. He wrestled Jack Swagger.
You telling me I missed Booker T wrestling
fucked
tonight?
Fucked up his backstage promo. He come in and Booker T was teaching Trish how to do the spin-a-rooney. And he busted in, and he said he wanted to say something about you think something, and instead he said you stink.
Well, I tell you what,
He said you think I'm afraid of you or something like that, but he said you stink, I'm afraid of you.
Booker looks good, man. He looks real good. When I saw him a year ago, he looked real good, and he still looks good, man. Yeah, I'm looking, I watched it now.
Tough enough.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you believe that Andy dude won Tough Enough?
Big Andy. See,
I thought the other guy was a lock.
I haven't watched Tough Enough, so I can't comment on the matter.
I would have bet the farm. I would have bet the network.
I wouldn't have allowed that.
That the other guy was going to win, Big Andy.
Well, I heard he got beat up for his troubles. I heard he got slapped by McMahon, and then he got stunned by Austin.
Yeah, I kind of thought that they fucked all that up, too. I thought that they'd have been much better served to have had Booker T in that match tonight with Swagger, and Swagger and some other people from the back come down and start putting the boots to Booker T and let Big Andy come in and clean the ring. Now, just let everybody powder, you know, but let him look strong coming to save his teacher.
Now, speaking of which, I also read some spoilers a little while ago that said something about R-Truth coming out in a Confederate uniform.
Yeah.
We have a black man on the show right now, the Pope. Pope, I want your thoughts and your opinions.
You're the blackest man I know, Pope.
On R-Truth coming out and talking about the Confederacy in a Confederate uniform. What the hell was going on tonight?
In my opinion, it was a good way to get some heel heat. It was hilarious. It was funny as a motherfucker, but it was a good way to get some heel heat on R-Truth.
Now, was he acting slavish at all?
Yeah, because he was telling Mr. McMahon shit like, yes, masters, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this, master.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You just said that on the show. He was acting slavish. Fuck, we're done. Fuck, we got a porn star next week, and we're talking slavery.
The dude comes out in Richmond, Virginia, in a fucking Confederate uniform.
How slavish?
He had the fucking sword and everything.
Oh, shit. Did he have a bucket of chicken?
Oh, I didn't go that far.
Well, I'm just saying, because the colonel... would have been proud.
How is the colonel going to be proud? The colonel's dead.
Well, fuck. then I guess reviving that motherfucker for one night would make him happy.
Trey, it's not Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. It's KFC. It's a completely different entity. The Colonel don't make the biscuits no more.
Ah, well. Shit. You said fucking slavish on the fucking air. Leave my chicken alone.
Did it sound that fucking racist, people?
It did to me. It made me laugh, and that's saying something.
Trent, were you offended by that at all?
No, it was hilarious. Okay. I don't have a problem with racism.
Oh, shit.
Now, if he'd have drove the fucking General Lee down to the ring.
Just the good old boys.
And got out in a fucking Confederate uniform with a sword and a bucket of chicken, you wouldn't have been offended by that shit?
No.
Would you have been offended if he would have come down to the ring singing Wade in the Water? All right, we're done. We're fucking done. Good night.
Wow. God. Wow, we'd have been better off if he hadn't realized he was on the phone. God damn.
Yeah. I don't even know what was going on there.
And the truth is marching on.
Okay, I'm going to step back and regain my composure. Pope, what's on
your
mind?
Hey, how many little jimmies does it take to fill a gang? I'm just curious.
I don't know, man. I really don't.
So you got a sermon for us this week, or...
Yeah, I have a little bit. I have something that a little something prepared.
All right. Well, as soon as JJ quits being all racist tonight.
Yeah, put it on me. Put it on me. It's okay that R-Truth showed up in an arena wearing a Confederate outfit singing some stupid song.
I'd like to call in through the show and ask everybody why they're talking about racism on the wrestling program.
Put it on me. Put it on me, why don't you?
This is Bill Cosby saying, good night and suck on a pudding pop.
Bah. For those of you that say I should edit the shit out of the show, I'm not. It's totally all staying in.
People was talking about the wrestling with the bang bang DDT and the power driver and the goo goo goo.
If you are offended by the show, you probably shouldn't be listening. So... on that note, I don't have your music, but if you have a sermon that you want to give, Pope, I'm giving you the floor.
Oh, my God, you don't have the music.
I could probably find it.
I mean, we're talking about the one segment a brother has. See, this is the white man.
Oh, fuck you, Trey.
Take away the one segment that the black man has on a wrestling program.
Oh, no, I got it. Hang on a second. I'll get it.
And trying to cut a brother out.
Totally hijacked this show. It's just...
All right, Pope, give us your sermon.
Well, all right, then. Let's see. All right, brothers and sisters, tonight's topic is going to be the distastefulness of Hulk Hogan and Brian Knobs. Now, I know many of you might have heard what Brian Knobs said about the Macho Man Randy Savage going around backstage making heart attack noises and grabbing his chest the same day the Macho Man died. Now, and then X-Pac Sean Waltman gets on Twitter and pretty much chastises Brian Knobs for saying this and doing this and tries to tell Hulk Hogan, you need to see about your boy. But what does Hulk Hogan do? He goes around in typical Hulk Hogan asshole style and goes like, tries to defend it, going like, this is not what it seems like. This is him just trying to get heat. And it works. You don't go around trying to get heat on somebody by making fun of someone dying the same day they do. Especially as someone as talented as the Macho Man himself. Macho Man has more talent in his little pinky than Brian Knobs has in his entire body.
Preach on, brother.
He has more talent than Hulk Hogan has in the fiber of his body and the fiber of his being. The Macho Man has done more for professional wrestling than any of Hulk Hogan's pathetic crew of people, and that includes the Nasty Boys and Bubba the Love Sponge have done in their pathetic lives. And just to finish the...
I don't want to be racist, but you cut the motherfucker's music and then you give the black man the People's Court theme. What the hell? How many goddamn?
It's still relevant, damn it. Keep going, Pope.
Oh, that's it. I'm done, man. I'm pretty much done. I said everything I needed to say. Damn it, I love this show.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I have chest pains.
I heard that in the background. I'm about to piss my pants.
I couldn't help it, man. I'm sorry. I couldn't find it, and I thought, you know what? People's Court works.
Oh, shit.
Dratavius, we love you, bro. You know that.
I know, man. I don't have any ill will towards you. It was hilarious. I find it funny myself.
Oh, Pope. You know, on another note, you do sound very clear tonight. Like, did you get a new headset or new microphone or something?
Yeah, I got Skype, and I'm using a headset, so...
Oh, well, see, that's why you sound so good.
Yeah.
Skype is awesome. Well, Pope, anything Amen. Final? Anything final before we let you go, bro?
Oh, yeah, like I said in the chat room, those crows were racist as anything I've ever seen in my life. And black people have been subject to racist stuff all throughout movies, history of entertainment. I mean, just look at horror movies, for example. I can't name one horror movie that a black person made it to the end. Either they're the first ones to go or there ain't none at all.
Now, that's horror movie as in, like, scary, not like horror movie, right?
Horror movie like slasher flick.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Deep Blue Sea, LL Cool J lived.
Oh, this is true.
He's the only one that didn't get ate by the shark.
Well, but they did kill Samuel L. Jackson, so they had the ratio. You couldn't have two right. black men survive.
Yeah,
you had to kill one off.
Black men, yes.
Yeah.
We lost a listener because of our racism.
Oh, no. It's a good thing we're going to gain 10 more over it.
Oh, it's too bad. You know what? In today's time, if you can't laugh it off, then you got more racist in you than any of us.
Trust me, if we're being racist, we wouldn't be laughing about it. But, you know, that's just it. But. Anyway, Pope, thanks for the call, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Later, brother.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, powered by headlockstoheadlines.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? This is the Black Redneck.
What's up, man? Where you been?
Oh, the brothers are calling in tonight. We're in trouble.
Man, I love y'all guys, man. Y'all fucking keep me laughing all fucking night.
Now, see, that's the thing. A black man, if you can't, I mean, it's not like we're being serious, and if you can't laugh it off, then you got more of a sickness in you than anybody else.
Man, I don't give a fuck about that shit, man. Man, listen, I'm at the age, man. That shit don't bother me, man.
And you've been listening for a long time.
Hell, exactly. Now,
I haven't run you off.
I've been around.
I haven't run you off yet, so hey.
Ah, now listen. I've been on the phone when fuck. Listen, ever since fucking Booker T got offended and hung up the phone. back then,
I will never forget that.
I will never forget that.
It was the funniest shit ever. So yeah, I know, man. I pay no attention to that bullshit.
For the new listeners that might not know what he's talking about, back in 2005.
I remember you and I talking before this interview, and you go, do you think I should ask him about that?
Well, okay. Long story short, in 2005, I was with Wrestle Talk Radio. As most of you know, I originated that show alongside Dr. William Maybrick and, of course, Tim Stein. That was our show. We started in 2004. But in 2005, I had come back from a hiatus. I moved to Oklahoma, and things were going well. I believe it was the night of the one-night stand pay-per-view. And we had Booker T scheduled. Now, Jason Klevitt, who is a close friend and associate of mine with Slam Wrestling, was a part of the show at the time. And we had basically set it up. I had contacted Booker T's school and I wanted to get an interview with either him or Stevie Ray. I really expected at that point to get Stevie Ray. And Booker was the first one to call me back after I left the message. And we set up an interview, and I was amazed because he was working for WWE at the time. And I thought, there's no way this interview is going to happen. So we got it set up. And a day or two later, Stevie called me. And I was going to set something up with him, but we never got around to that. So we had Booker on the night of the One Night Stand pay-per-view. And Klevitz had gotten this clip for me of Booker in WCW. And it was him and his brother Stevie and Sherry. And they were doing a promo on pay-per-view. And, you know, it's that infamous clip where he says, "Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga." And then you can obviously see the look on Booker's face. He's embarrassed. He doesn't know what to say. And, you know, he turns around and Sherry's looking at him and Mean Gene's kind of giggling. And I didn't clear this with him before we played it. And I can remember Harmony saying, "Don't you play that. He'll eat you." Harmony was scared to death of Booker T. And Klevitz was like, "Nah, it'll be cool, man. I think he'll enjoy it." So we played it, and we had him on for like 5 minutes. And at this point, I played it, and he was pissed. He was angry at me. He's like, "You know what, brother? You burned your ass with me." He's like, "Thanks for the interview. Thanks for promoting the school. But you know, we're done." So we go to commercial break. I call Booker back. And I don't know what I said to him to bring him back on the show. I apologize. And said I was very unprofessional. We brought him back on the show. I shut up for about 10 minutes and let everybody else do the interview. And then I kind of started chiming in a little bit and getting into the interview. We actually had him on after that for about an hour. And he was okay with us. You know, I apologized on the air. He was fine with it. But, yeah, I'll never forget that night. That was the one and only night in the history of me doing interviews that I was just literally upset with myself over something. And in the past, we had done stuff like that with guests, and they thought it was funny. And I made the mistake of not clearing it with him first, and he really took offense to it. But, yeah, that story, my God, 2005, that was an eye-opening event for me.
It was priceless, man.
Yeah, but he was willing to come back again. He came back and did another interview this year, so, I mean, he was all excited about that. So.
Oh, no, Booker's a good guy. He's a class act, and I really enjoyed my time talking with him last year. You know, we had about an hour interview with him last year on Sunday Night Showdown, and he's just he's a great guy. I mean, I'm so glad that Booker's back with the WWE and doing something that he wants to do, so.
Yeah, I was watching Raw tonight, and that whole fucking R-Truth shit was hilarious. He came walking down singing some Jimmy Crack Corn shit or whatever the fuck.
What, little that Jimmy Crack Corn? He don't care?
Little Jimmy Crack Corn.
It was some little Jimmy some shit, man. I was like, yo, this dude is fucking funny. It should have been doing something with this dude. I'm glad they finally doing something.
Can I ask a serious question? I mean, I'm asking a serious question to a black person.
Yeah,
what is Little Jimmy something that black people say, or is it just something that he made up?
I don't know what the fuck he came from. That shit came from, man. Wow. I have no idea where that shit came from. That shit's hilarious. Last week when he threw the fucking soda on that dude, man, I fucking peed on him.
But what he's saying in his own, I hate to say ghetto speak or his own vernacular, the way that he talks, he's saying everything that we've been saying for months. That the fans are the reason why John Cena is on the top. And he's the champ. Yeah. Because little Jimmy is buying his shit.
Rightfully so. He's the one at the moment that's probably the most marketable. So, I mean, he's going to get the little kids that's going to want the T-shirts and all that other stuff. And him, unfortunately, don't look too appealing to little kids. And he's not going to get that.
No.
And, you know, they need to, you know, do something with him. I mean, because he is a talent. I don't know how much of a talent, but he has some talent. So, you know, they have to do something with him. And, you know, be to all, you know, to the exact opposite of what John Cena is.
I will tell you this. So, I mean, Truth is a funny dude in person. He is a funny motherfucker. And I'm not kidding you.
I will never forget working that WrestleCon show in 2004 with him. And it was him and D'Lo and Jerry Lynn. And we came out of the dinner that night. And we were in this hotel where they had this Mexican wedding. True story. We passed by the doors. And Truth and D'Lo go in there. And, of course, everybody recognizes Truth. And he starts breakdancing at the damn wedding on the dance floor. Him and D'Lo are getting down and shit. And I'm just standing there watching them. Those Mexicans were loving it, man. It was good stuff. So the only time I've ever known of Truth to crash a wedding.
Oh, so now we've pissed off the Mexicans and the black people.
Hey, we may as well go, you know, carte blanche. Piss them all off at this
Jimmy
point.
Crack corn, huh? Well,
our song of the night will be La Cucaracha.
Man, Trey, you're a crazy-ass dude, man. Oh, my God. I love y'all fucking guys, man. I ain't going to even lie. Y'all give me nothing but fucking entertainment, man. I just wanted to holler at y'all because I don't really call in, but, you know.
Well, you should call in more often.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to do that, man.
You got to set it straight, man, so we're not offended people.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
See, but that's what it's all about. It's like I say all the time, and JJ and I talk about this off the air all the time, and he carries it on to all the shows that he's a part of, and it's just, you know, you can get your wrestling information anywhere you want, but are you entertained? Do you laugh? That's the part of this show that I want to stress, is that don't take anything other than interview segments too seriously. We're all just here to have a good time and laugh and talk about wrestling.
You know what?
If you can't do that, then don't stop by.
The day Trey and I stop having fun on the show is the day we stop doing the show.
Exactly.
Because you can ask Trey. I was pissed the fuck off before the show even started tonight. For reasons I don't even want to get into. I've had a bad day.
And I've had a fucking great day. I didn't even tell anybody this.
I think I broke my foot today.
Oh.
My foot is fucking killing me.
Well, that's what happens when you kick things that you're not supposed to kick.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't be doing shit like that.
And a broken foot. Have you ever had one before?
No, I can still move my toes, man, so I don't think it's broken. I might have bruised it a little bit.
I broke my fucking big toe playing sand volleyball my freshman year of college. Between my senior year of high school, my freshman year of college, and I was being recruited by a fraternity, and we had an outdoor event with a bunch of hot chicks in bikinis, and I was trying to show my ass, and I went for a dig, and then I stopped, and they had those, what they call railroad ties, surrounding the sand. Oh, my God. I hit my big toe on that, and that was all I hit on that motherfucker, and I'm telling you right now. Wow. When you break one of them little digits, you know it for a long time. It ranks right up there with the other bone that I broke in a bar fight, which was my tailbone. Now, how do you break your tailbone in a bar fight? I'll tell you. I was sitting at a table with JSK and my girlfriend, and it was closing time. And I don't know what this guy's problem was, but one thing I take very seriously and I do not put up with is a man putting his hands on a woman. If you want to see me go from fucking stand-up comic to asshole in 0.0 seconds, hit a woman in front of me. Because this guy, he was sitting right next to us at the table. And the waitress brought the tab over to their table. I just happened to turn. I think I was turning to look at the bar. And I turned, and when I did, they were arguing over the bill. And this guy, open hand, slapped this chick so hard she fell out of her chair into the floor. And I got up and shoved him, and I heard JSK go, "Oh, shit, here we go." And I shoved this guy. I said, "Won't you hit somebody that hits back a little bit more harder than she does, bitch?" And he did. He fucking hit me. And when he did, I went down, and I went backwards, and the table set up just high enough that I fell as I went down. I fell underneath the table, and I hit my ass bone right on one of the legs, the iron legs of that fucking table. I mean, it was a fucking bullseye shot right on my tailbone, and it hurt right then. I knew I'd done something, but I wasn't going to stay there and cry about it. I got up and whooped that dude's fucking ass, got thrown out of the bar, but I got that guy. I whooped that dude's ass, went home, The next day when I woke up, I couldn't get out of bed.
Wow.
If you've ever broken your tailbone, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a painful bitch.
Now, not to change the subject, but we do have a caller on the line, so let's go to that real quick. We're going to take our last break, come back, maybe take one or two calls, read some emails, and get the fuck out of here. With that said, welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
G'day, guys. Nothing like a bit of friendly racism to brighten your morning. How are we all
doing? Hey, how can we make fun of you today?
I don't know. Just say I went to school in a kangaroo's pouch or something.
What's up, man?
Believe it or not, man, I'm pretty much in the same boat as JJ, except not really the broken foot thing, but just getting rejected. Job interview after job interview after job interview. Far out. It's being annoying.
Is it that bad over there, too?
Yeah, because I'm mainly going for bartender glassy work and that, and far out, it's quiet over here.
Well, per Apple Bottom in the chat room, did a dingo eat your baby? The dingo ate my baby!
The dingo ate my baby! Oh, God.
Did you say one time, just say Foster's Australian for beer?
What? Foster's Australian? Believe it or not, Foster's is actually not really that popular over here anymore. If you really want a beer, go for a Tui's New VB 4X. Tui's Extra Dry as well is also quite good as well.
All right, Nim, request in the chat room. Can you give us some Crocodile Dundee? How about
I'll
put
God
another shrimp on the Bobby.
That's not a knife. Now this is a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
There you go, man.
Just when we thought we couldn't get any more,
hey,
racist.
If you are a different nationality and you'd like us to piss in your cereal, go ahead and give us a call.
Hey, man, I'll just call up with my various accents and we'll have a ball. I got a question for you guys, as much as from the friendly racism and all this talk and everything like that. I just had a question about Tough Enough. I just want to think, what do you guys think is actually going to happen to Andy now that he's been hired as an employee of the WWE now? Because I remember you had Matt Capitelli, who is now retired. He won the 2004 Tough Enough, I think.
Nope.
2005 Tough Enough was Daniel Pewter.
It was 2002.
Thank you.
And he won it alongside John Morrison.
And the 2005 one, it was Daniel Pewter who beat The Miz.
That was 04.
Oh, that was 04.
Well, yeah. I think
was
05
then? Oh, yeah, the Royal Rumble.
I think what they do with this kid, they send him down to... was it FCW they got down there?
Yeah.
I bet they sent him down to FCW to work down there, and they don't bring him back or even mention him until Tough Enough for next season, and they want to start promoting that show, and they'll bring Andy in to the main roster to help promote that show.
I didn't watch Tough Enough, so I'm not a lot of help here. I watched the first season. I watched the third season. And I watched, the fourth one, the $1 million one, which is the one that I actually auditioned for.
Which you should have won, by the way.
Well, I should have won it. I should have gotten an opportunity to go. I should have gotten an opportunity for my fucking tape, or my DVD, rather, to make it on the air. That's what pissed me off more than anything. The fact that when I watched all the vignettes that they had, or all the tough enough things they had, you had guys wrestling their best friend in a fucking basement, cutting stupid promos, and here you had this guy who actually went out and had a professional shoot done with a fucking Corvette and a mansion in the fucking background, who cut a promo on the first try, thank you, that wasn't scripted. Hello? Bitter? Yes, I am. Moving on. Where was I? I totally forgot. I've lost my train of thought. Okay, anyway, I watched The Last Tough Enough because, obviously, I applied for that one. But I didn't watch Tough Enough this time out because I'm in Canada. And, well, they just recently started replaying Tough Enough, so I'm way behind. But as far as what Andy's going to do now, probably he's going to go to FCW, and one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to make it to the roster, or he's going to be Daniel Rotimer. And if you don't know who Daniel Rotimer was, he was in the Million Dollar Tough Enough. He was the big blonde guy, the big kid, that was at one point going to be part of Team RKO with Orton and Edge. And then he was supposed to be like the next big thing from their developmental camp. And then he was let go before he ever made his debut. So one of two things will happen to this kid. He'll either go the same route they did with Daniel Rotimer, where he does something that pisses him off and he gets released, or they'll bring him up slowly in FCW. Just my two cents.
Silent rage.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly the same way I'm thinking. Like, give him, if he doesn't really come up within the next 6 to 8 months, you'll find him on the future endeavors list.
Oh, I say 6 months. It'll be about 6 months before they start Tough Enough again, and they don't want to bring him in just as they're starting. They want to have him, you know, having been there a few weeks before Tough Enough kicks off, and then they'll, every time they mention him on the card about him going against The Miz or him going against R-Truth or him going against whoever, they can say he was a former Tough Enough winner. Oh, by the way, Tough Enough starts in 2 weeks on USA right before Raw.
Yeah. Sorry. Pope just said in the chat room that he could be Maven. No. Please, God, no.
You know what Maven's just doing now?
No, I don't.
Home Shopping Network, baby.
Home Shopping Network.
Yeah, he could actually. Yeah, yes. That's
he is. That's really what he's doing. He legitimately is working for the Home Shopping Network during their NFL segment selling NFL merchandise.
Oh, God. Yep. That's something. That's something else. So really
definitely
something
tough
else.
He's definitely tough enough.
Yeah. So,
oh, man.
So, Nim, before we let you go, anything else, bro?
Mind if I get a quick, really, really quick plug-in?
Go for it.
Oh, you might as well. We already played your fucking commercial.
Hell yes! I've sent JJ about five commercials so far. But yeah,
you
guys,
got more commercials than we do.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, what would fans do? Archived every Saturday on SundayNightShowdown.com. And also, very, very quickly, we're going to do the Triple Threat segment. We're going to do that every week, but we're actually going to be bringing basically topics where we were asking all of you guys to send in your opinions. This week's opinion is, who is the most underutilized star in wrestling history? This could be any wrestling promotion, TNA, WWE, Ring of Honor, Chikara, anything like that.
But JJ, yeah, Sexy. If you... JJ Sexy.
JJ Sexy, yep.
I was actually going to go more with like a Billy Gunn, but okay.
Well, fuck you too, Trey.
Just off the top of my head, Muhammad Hassan as
well.
Well,
but he got fired for being too good at his job, though. There's a difference.
Exactly, yeah. But, yeah, just wondering, who do you think is the most underutilized star in wrestling history? And we're also going to do something on Impact Wrestling, as we do every week, completely burying
the entire TNA roster.
Oh, actually, yeah, we're going to do that as well. We're going to cover the TNA roster and who should be on the future endeavors list from Impact Wrestling in the next month.
Wow, that's actually pretty cool. I like that.
Yep. So, but
there
anyway, guys,
there might be three wrestlers left by the time you get done with that shit.
Oh no, two: Styles and Angle. That's it.
Styles and Angle.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, thank you very much. Remember, WWFD@ymail.com.
Hey, get that shit out of here! I don't want to.
I got an email the other day. Or a shout out from an Egyptian listener the other day.
Well, see, Egyptians aren't towel heads.
Well, they're from the Middle East, Trey. They're from Africa.
Yeah, but they don't fuck up our buildings. They don't bomb our shit. Well, they just build pyramids and they fucking worship cats.
But not all Middle Eastern people do that, Trey. Eliminate the hate, motherfucker.
Only the Taliban.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
If you're in the Taliban, then you can go to hell.
I'm going to fly the friendly racism flag right here.
If you're
right
in the Taliban, you're probably going to go to hell.
There's at least that, you know, there's at least that promise of, you know, 35 virgins. So, you know,
they got that going for them. You can email me and tell me why, because I don't give a shit. Go run a fucking convenience store and leave me the fuck alone.
All right. Nim, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks for much, guys. See you later, guys.
On that note, we're going to take our last commercial break of the evening, come back and read a few emails, and get the hell out of here.
The world needs taxi drivers.
Before we offend any other nationality, after the break, guys, you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this. Some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed, people.
This is PM Bronx, and you are listening to the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog, and JJ Sexe, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wrestling Radio Tips on how to host your very own wrestling radio show. Wrestling Radio Tip 101, take listener phone calls. Here's how it works. You set up a phone line, and when a listener calls in, you answer just like this.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Okay.
I don't really follow Hulk Hogan because I just kind of find him up to be a washed up douchebag.
Skeet, 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 skeet. Yeah.
It's been booming in the warehouse with Sin Cara just starting in WWE. The t-shirts and the masks have been up in the sky. So your tennis shoes are in the side. I told Julio to hold up on them. All we have to wait for the shoelaces to come in the bottom sole.
What?
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 Come on, man. That's the last thing you
want. Okay.
Well, what you gonna do, brother? Well, I just take off my shirt.
Yeah.
Say my prayers. Eat my vitamins.
Yeah.
Say no to the holy God. And I'm gonna go after you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you gonna do when the 2-inch pythons run wild on you?
Bye, little.
Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights?
Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday Nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
It's time.
It's time to stop
the name-calling,
the hurt,
the bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color, sexual orientation,
it's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE, and you're listening to my very dear, close, personal friends, JJ and Trick. I bet those names right. Yeah, I believe I do. Right here on Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
So we're eliminating the hate, but we're okay to snort up all the cocaine and take all the damn muscle relaxers and shit and get a continuance in court every month.
Pretty much, pretty much. I don't know what happened to the show tonight. Again, if you were offended, then you just really don't have a sense of humor. At least you're entertained.
Because you had a bad day and you hurt your foot, and you told you asked if somebody was being slavish.
I don't know where that came from.
It all went downhill from there.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't come across as bad as I thought it did till you said it, but, you know, I didn't mean anything racial.
I didn't say
racial.
It. I just started laughing. And then, on top of it all, we righted the ship, God. And we got the caller to go do his thing, and you fucking play the People's Court music.
Dude, I couldn't find it, man. It was the closest thing I could think of to use. I mean, it works, right?
Insinuating that the brother had done some jail time.
You heard some of the stuff Popa said in the chat room? That might be justifiable. I'm just saying.
Little Jimmies.
For all the little Jimmies in the world. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this? Let's try this again. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hi, this is Bradley from Sports Limited. I was wondering if you'd like to buy a magazine subscription.
Well, yeah, JJ is a huge magazine subscriber.
Yeah, I'm calling from Sports Limited. Actually, you sound kind of cute. So I'm going to give you a trial subscription for free.
Caller, go fuck yourself.
Think about that.
All right, thanks for the call.
Wait, I want to get my magazine.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here. I don't do solicitation. Let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Was that legit? Damn, brothers out there trying to get jobs, and you're hanging up on people trying to sell.
I'm running this motherfucker. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hello?
Caller.
Is it supposed to be me?
Yes, it's you.
If
who
it
the
is,
fuck is
I can't
this?
I hear myself. Give me a second.
What the? What's this? Give me. If you ain't ready to fucking make the goddamn call, don't call, Ashley. What the fuck?
No. It's because my computer inside, it's about 7 years old. The fan got replaced last week, but everything else is about 7 years old. So in that time, it's ancient.
Goddamn Australian bastards!
He's actually English, Trey.
Or English bastards? Whatever you are, it's your fault.
Oh, you see, that's
the
what
Americans
I was waiting for. Everybody else has been insulted but the British. I mean, you know, Crowley was a close second, but you know.
I insult Crowley
like
that.
I insulted the British today in the chat room. I was watching the E3 conference, and Peter Molyneux is so goddamn British, it's not even funny.
I couldn't hardly understand anything those Ubisoft motherfuckers were saying.
Well, yeah, but they're Canadian.
Hello.
They're free.
We have this game that everybody will want. It's a breathing game where you breathe in and breathe out. Who gives a crap?
Yeah, here's my impression of Peter Molyneux. Right, and this is how we play Fable, the Journey.
Journey?
It's Fable Journey.
I still remember that crazy Milo kid from a couple of years back.
I want to play with Milo on the screen. It sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Wade Barrett loves to play with Milo? Oh, dear.
This is Wade Barrett, and I was upset about the connect. I wanted to play with Milo, Peter.
I heard on YouTube... No, I'm just going to say it. I can't even fucking...
We're all going to hell.
Oh, fuck me.
If we're all going to hell, sod it. Just say it anyway.
I know. I was going to say, I was going through YouTube the other night. Oh. Constant can back me up. I heard that the Kinect has a hard time picking up certain black people.
Ashley, yes. Ashley, sorry about that. Hey, Trey, listen to this.
Oh. Oh, it's Crowley's mom. Hey.
We're going to hell.
Shit. Yeah.
There's no other way around it. We are all going to hell.
We are all going to die.
All right, so
this
Ashley,
motherfucking Trey Dog in this motherfucking hell. What the
all right,
hell?
All right, let's take two steps back. Ashley, you called for a reason. What's on your mind?
Oh, E3. I'm just pissed off about there were so many press conferences today.
Really? Oh. I didn't get to see them all, but the one I wanted to see, I got set down. I just poured a full glass of Mountain Dew, opened up a thing of chocolate chip cookies. I was going to sit down and have a little Trey time and watch some fucking E3. The Xbox people come out. My phone rings and my dad says, I need you to come pick me up. My transmission went out.
And typically it was right at the start with Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Definitely was.
Well, that looked all right. Probably need to see more of it, but then there was so much other crazy crap.
Well, I've been informed by the sensational sequel that there will be plenty of E3 coverage on Unplugged this weekend. This Friday.
Yeah, there was a whole heap of crap, I don't know. Too much crap. I've got a notepad and it's like already full.
How many days does that thing run?
Well, the press conferences only last two. All we have tomorrow left is Nintendo, basically going, look, we've got the Wii 2. We decided after the first one was the Wii, we called the number 2 a poo. So it's the Nintendo poo.
Nice.
If that happens, you know, you heard it here first.
All right,
but just in some weird swerve. And then,
well, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you called in and fucked up the show.
What? Well, that's yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to get insulted when I did, but
jeez. Yeah. I called you Australian. And what the hell?
Well, I can be Australian if you want, mate. It's true.
I didn't realize it was you. I just heard that. I assumed, and I made an ass out of you and me. But more so you, because you weren't prepared for the phone call.
Well, I was. It's just my tech a little bit screwed up, mate. I threw a shrimp on the barbie, and then it just went kaput.
Oh, well, leave your shrimp off the barbie, then.
Yeah, it's starting to sting. How did I say that? Oh, it's... Tonight has really broken down.
What has happened to this show?
What's happened to TNA?
This is an award-winning show, people.
The show is still better than TNA. Don't kid yourself.
No, but everybody's leaving TNA. Nobody's leaving our show.
I know. Nobody's left their chat room.
Apart
so
from that one person that left because of the whole everything that happened earlier on. But, you know, Foley's going. Dream is apparently going, according to one of his tweets. You know? They're not going to need to cut anybody because they're leaving themselves.
Well, I tell you what they need to do is release those photos that I saw of Velvet Sky today from Jericho in my Twitter, and ratings would go through the roof.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
I don't know if it does. I think there'd be a sudden age demographic of people probably males over the age of 40 or something.
Unreal. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, that was all. It was a pleasure to get insulted by both of you.
It's what we do best, man. Call back anytime. It's what we do best. We try to get regular jobs, but nobody wants to hire us. So we have to resort to doing a radio show to insult people. I mean, it's just, you know,
yeah.
It's what we do. We're good at it.
We're eliminating the hate.
With all this insulting stuff, you should go work in a call center.
My wife does that.
Oh.
Only she's not insulting.
No.
I wouldn't last a day doing her job.
I wouldn't either.
The first time somebody started cussing me, I'm like, listen here, bitch. I'm here to help
you. Hit reset, motherfucker!
Have you tried turning it on and off again?
Yeah. All right, Ashley, thanks for the call, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
See you guys.
On that note, let's go ahead and read some emails. We're running long. And I'm talking briefly, read some emails. So if your email's over three paragraphs, it ain't getting read tonight. Just a word to the wise. That would just be the way it is. Actually, I don't think anybody sent us any emails. You know why? Because the show's been a clusterfuck, right?
Well, the people in Burkina Faso might need to get out. Never know.
This is true.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Of course you have an email, you idiot! Just read it!
Our email sounder makes fun of retarded people.
He's got mail. I mean, that's the important thing. This first one comes to us from ZMG. Fuck you, Hogan.
All right.
Now, before we go any further, I just want to state for the record and for disclaimer purposes that the emails that we receive and read may not or may reflect the attitudes of the owners and hosts of the SNS Radio Network, but they may not. So with that said, you can't hold us accountable for what is said in these emails. Title of email, Fuck You, Hogan. What's up, guys? It's ZMG, and I want to share my thoughts on Hogan bashing fans and then denying it. Hogan's comments were, that's good to know, brother, but in reality, it was a lot of you idiot fans that killed WCW, brother, with your lack of appreciation and support for everything we did for you, brother. Funny enough, a lot of you morons like TNA, too. Go figure, HH. Well, guess what, Hogan? If it wasn't for fans, your adult diaper-wearing wrinkled ass wouldn't even be around today. So you take your butt buddy Brian Knobs and go fuck yourself.
Are male depends? They're a lot like, oops, I crap my pants?
Yes. Okay, now, I want to say another thing talking about my actions on Friday night. First of all, I'm not leaving, and second, that was the worst day of my life. Truly, but it's all cool now. I'm back in the family. Just wanted to share my thoughts, guys. Thanks for the show, ZMG. By the way, this might be a sloppy email, but I had to type it fast. Thanks, ZMG. So thanks for the email. I'm glad you told us how you really felt, because I was worried there at first that I didn't understand what your thoughts on Hogan were, but you made them crystal clear to me.
They were very colorfully done.
Yes, very colorfully done. I like the use of colorful metaphors and adjectives. I think you got your point across, so good job. I bring it via hopefully one day fax machine. This is by DJ, I believe. Yes, yes. The Pope, he rocks. End of story. So, JJ, you want me to review the China porno? That's easy. She's in four scenes, and the bitch starts blabbing about Triple H and random other things because, well, she's a crazy bitch already for wanting to do a rumor has it six more films. Oh, and the sex is horrible. To wait, did I just say that in a dusty voice? The bitch can't fuck to save a life. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I had a hard time writing this email because a black man in a Maple Score theme. Raw was pretty
slavish.
Could have been worse. I could have been playing Bad Boys. Raw was pretty lame, as always, but Vince telling Cole pretty much shut the fuck up classic. Other than that, Booker motherfucking T wrestled again, and he looked pretty fucking awesome in the
ring.
He's
just a Booker T! Booker T!
Oh, I need that clip. And only
he's
five
not
moves.
No sucker! Sucker!
Only five moves he did before Jack Swagger told him to fuck off.
Jack said, I don't need this shit, and he walked away.
In a dusty voice. The black man can wrestle, oh my goodness, yes he can. E3, oh E3. Why didn't you fucking show us some footage of WB12, you bastards? It was overall pretty good, but man, Kinect and the PlayStation Move is all about moving side to side. I don't want to play my game standing up and working out. It needs to be done sitting down, goddammit. In a Vince voice, fuck that shit! Great show, been laughing my ass off so hard. Booker T is still awesome. R-Truth dressing up as a black man. Well, he is a black man. He wasn't dressing up as a black man. R-Truth dressing up as a black man in a suit, something you wouldn't wear in a war. If John Cena broke Miz's foot, he's probably next to be really sad for the next week. Everybody's having a hard time looking for a job. It's the same motherfucking gay shit in Texas. I watched Hangover 2, and let me say it's good, funny jokes, plus a crazy monkey. The real heavyweight champ is in it, and I'll give you a hint. He has a tattoo on his face. 3 out of 5 out of 5.
You know, I saw something this weekend that happened that on the racist front that made me laugh my ass off. Y'all remember Double H from back in the day?
I remember Double H.
He was up at 8:30 in the morning playing L.A. Noir. So I have this messenger on my computer so I can message people that are on Xbox. I can see who's on. And so I sent a message. I said, you know, black men don't technically solve crimes. And he sent me one back and said, yes, they do, Wonder Bread, when they're playing as white detectives.
Oh, you're a bad motherfucker, Trey. Oh, you're just making shit worse, man.
I know. We're canceled. There'll be no more Wrestling News Live after this week.
No, I don't think so. Again, if you were offended by anything you heard tonight, you obviously don't have a
sense of humor. The ASPCA and the NAACP and who else? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, they'll all file injunctions.
All right, on that note, we're out of here. We are leaving this place. Maybe we'll be back next week with China. I don't know.
On a jet plane.
I don't know. If not, stay tuned to the rest of the programming this week on the SNS Radio Network. Causecast.
What are we going to put on Mondays?
Do what now?
What are we going to put on Mondays when this show gets canceled?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to give Pope and Bronx that show they keep wanting to do. It's going to be
what
our Monday
hell
lineup.
Is that?
I don't know. It's going to be talking about music and TV. I don't know. Anyway,
Bronx,
on that note.
Bronx and Pope? That's a hell of a combination.
That is a combination right there. But on that note, tune in tomorrow night for the Causecast, 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time. I'm sure Charles is going to break down how the demo for WWE 12 was. We'll probably take some calls and get some answers from Charles as to his thoughts on that particular game. We might talk a little E3 tomorrow. Wednesday, the Pro Wrestling Rewind with Andy Knowles is back, and I do believe they've got Little Egypt on the program this week. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the rumor.
You know how some people come on shows and they give away what they're promoting?
Yep. Yep. It's crazy.
We got China next week. Oh, never mind.
I'm just wondering how many people have China next week now.
I don't know. Who knows?
I think we're going to be the only ones. I don't think anybody wants to touch her right now, but we will because, you know, I like
somebody
China.
Does or she wouldn't be making pornos.
There you go. But don't be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, if Monday she's booked on 3 or 4 shows, because that just seems to be the, you know, modus operandi here lately when we book an interview on Wrestling News Live. So if it happens, it happens.
Check out the back door to China.
Que sera, sera. Well, you will, because once I get it, I'll upload it and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, you and Colin. So on that note, guys, we are getting out of here. Stay tuned for Friday Unplugged with myself, the sensational Sean, as we talk a lot of E3. Krelly will be on hand. We'll probably have 1 of 2 interviews to air on the program with either the Road Dog or Christy Hemme. And then Saturday, it's another episode of What Would Fans Do with the Triple Threat now, the first Hispanic gold medalist, the only Hispanic gold medalist in SNS radio history, El Diablo Ramirez, the Zodiac, and, of course, Mr. Sergey Nim himself. On that note, I think that's going to do it. Isn't there a pay-per-view this weekend?
I think so, yeah.
I don't even know if there's going to be a Sunday Night Showdown on Sunday, so I don't want to promote that pay-per-view right now. I have no idea. I'm still in the midst of working a bunch of things out with the network, so... On that note, that's it for the programming this week. We'll see you here next week, Wrestling News Live. Myself, Mr. Money on the mic, JJ, all caps, sex A, or I guess all caps racist, sex A, depending on who you talk to tonight. And, of course, the outlaw of the IWC, who likes to be racial for a moment, the Trey Dog.
No, not me.
Not you. So we're going to kick it over to JSK. We're going to close out with Song of the Night. We'll see you motherfuckers next week. I am out of here. Good
Next
night.
Week is the back door to China.
JSK, take us out of here, please. Calgon, take me away.
Woo-hoo!
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people.
Oh, no. Bad boys,
what you want, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one, you chuck it on your mother.
Wrestling News Live is taped before a live studio audience. And last I checked, we were the bad boys of wrestling. It's true.
What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now give you no break. Police now give you no break. That old soldier man now give you no break. Not even your agent now give you no breaks. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
We're gonna run like motherfuckers. Although they've actually shown up on us before, so wouldn't be a first.
Why did you have to act so mean? Don't you know you're a human being? Born of a mother with the love of a father. Reflection comes and reflection goes. I know sometimes you wanna let go.
I just noticed Pope's not in the chat room. Must have heard the music and took off.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one. You chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father. You chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister. You chuck it on that one and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, what you gonna do?
I guess the shock is waving on everybody but themselves.
I said right there in that song. He says, you chuck it on your brother, you chuck it on your mother, you chuck it on your sister. I guess they blame it on everybody but themselves.
I guess so, guys. With that said, we're out of here. Wrestling News Live, SNS Radio Network. Thank God the FCC doesn't control us. Good night, everybody.
We're canceled. Y'all don't be slavish this week.
Live is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.
Oh, no, no, no!
Tonight on the People's Court, JJ and Trey face charges of racism. Will Judge Wapner throw the book at them or give them a slap on the wrist? Tune in tonight for the People's Court with the hosts of Wrestling News Live, JJ All Cap Sexay, and the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog.
I'm gonna be in the back door of China.
Oh shit, Trey, here come the judge. We're all going to jail.
For hell.
Whichever comes first.
This is Doug Llewellyn saying good night.